This week, the never-ending flame wars and battle of console supremacy continues. It's a new console generation, and I hope you have the console where your friends play and library exists. After all, it's your choice for your own reasons. Never forget the immortal words of your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, that a console is only as good as the games that are on it, which this generation includes the games you previously owned still being compatible on the new consoles. We'll discuss this and the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Where every gamer has a voice. We are back once again with another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight with episode number 844 of our show for November the 22nd of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined by my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Good. I'm going to come back to you in a minute, though, because we have some more stuff to discuss. Say hello.
Exactly.
Okay. Say hello. So I said before the show I was going to do it differently, but 18-year-old habits are hard to break. So please also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing all right.
Good. What's that game behind you tonight? Was that Uniracers? It's kind of what it looks like.
It is Uniracers.
Rad.
I was just refreshing it because there was a nice banner ad for some sort of I see a berry thing. I was like, nope.
All right. Well, that's okay. That's okay. Oh,
that's another banner ad. Cool.
That's the Nintendo 64 version, isn't it? I don't know if I ever
played. Super Nintendo.
Okay, it is Super Nintendo. Didn't they have like a Uniracer 64, or am I making that up?
No, then you're making that up.
I am totally making that up. Why did I think there was a second Uniracers game?
I don't know. Maybe you're thinking of Excitebike.
Was it on Game Boy? I don't know. No, I'm definitely not thinking of Excitebike.
I don't remember if there was a Game Boy version of the Uniracers. There might have been. But no, it was only on Super Nintendo.
All right. Before we get into our kickoff topic tonight, which is going to be about a game we've talked about a little bit on this show before, I want to go back to Dark Sakura tonight because we've been talking the past couple weeks about you are a fan of the show Supernatural, which... Has a pretty impressive run. It's not quite as impressive as the run of this show at 18 years, but 15...
I just posted that on my Twitter too.
15 years, great minds think like me. 15 years of one TV show is certainly no slouch. But you and I were talking a little bit before the show tonight. Finale was met with some mixed kind of feelings.
By the way, on cam, I have baby.
What I don't even know what that is. Do they have a
it's the Impala.
Do they have a Batmobile type of thing? Is that what that is?
It's the Impala. It's baby.
Sorry. I think I've maybe ever seen one episode. It's a lot to catch up on. But I will say, Dark Sakura, it wasn't your endorsement that made me want to watch Supernatural. Do you know who endorsed Supernatural that now I want to watch it? Stacey Abrams.
Well, yeah. I think the entire fandom let out a big gasp when they found she was a fan.
She's clearly a sci-fi nerd, and I'm living for it.
Yeah, totally. I've really been enjoying following her on Twitter lately. But my favorite show that I've watched since the first episode, that a lot of the milestones I've had as a host of Orange Lounge Radio, I have had as a fan of Supernatural as well, including getting married and, you know, losing a cat and getting another cat and all of our milestones. So, and I'd also like to say that for me, because I was only a couple years older than Jensen Ackles, who plays Dean, that I've grown up with the characters. And so it was kind of for me watching the characters grow as people and me growing, it made logical sense. I could stay with that aspect. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and somebody, I had tweeted a little plug for the show tonight, as I tend to do on my personal Twitter account, and somebody was kind enough to reply. It was Sykoon on Twitter replied and said, do you remember that name? I remember it from chat a long time ago. Said, OLR was a formative part of my youth, and I still love them to pieces. Go have a listen, pals. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's why I still do this shit every week, is nice comments like that. It's very kind. I do also want to introduce our chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, and you guys can participate along with our show. First comment tonight from Kevin DDR, who says, OLR outlasting Supernatural is truly an accomplishment. Thank you. At the end, there can be only one.
So there's another like big thing that's happening next week. So the Ready Player 2 is coming out, and I was reading, I was like trying to read some reviews on it, and they're like, yeah, it's 9 years in the making. I'm like, it's been 9 years already. Jeez.
I know, but time flies.
Seriously.
I was just going to ask you, because we were talking a little bit before the show about Supernatural and kind of the fandom reaction. And you know, I know this is a show about video games, but I definitely saw some parallels in a not great way, unfortunately, to kind of what you were talking about with some of the stuff in the Supernatural fandom and things that we've seen in the gaming fandom. And, you know, we're talking about history and things that have changed in 15 years or 18 years, depending on what show we're talking about right now. One of those things that is kind of better and worse is the fact that you can reach out to people so instantaneously on social media. I mean, when this show started, we didn't have Twitter and some of that stuff. And in some ways, thank gosh, right? But Jamie, you want to elaborate on that a little bit? Like, what's the Supernatural fandom going through?
Well, a lot of people are kind of up in arms over the ending that... You know, their characters slighted, that the way that it ended, and shit, I really don't want to spoil it, but sure. The way that it was ended denied certain aspects of characters, that it ruined character arcs, and me, personally, I don't see that. I thought it was right the way that it ended, but we've now had so much just... I don't even have a word for it. Just people who have been, we've gone from the flat out, and I'm looking at some of it as grief, you know, because people can grieve over the stuff that they love. That's appropriate. But I'm, you know, we still have a lot of the denial and, oh, it should have been this way. And let's petition to have, the petition's already out, by the way. but like one of my favorite actors who is just a glorious human being, Jim Beaver, he was chased off of Twitter because, you know, and I don't even think that a lot of what was going at him was necessarily badly worded or attacking, but it was so many, you know what I mean? When you have a lot of people saying the same thing and not all of them are mature about it, it'll really come across as bullying. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, people are now going on IMDb and leaving poor reviews. And the thing with that is that a lot of them are making light of mental illness and suicide. And every last one of them I've run across, I have reported because you don't fuck with those topics. You do not. Especially when I have friends that would be with me today if they hadn't taken their lives. There've been just anywhere from just, you know, basic whining to really good conversation. The really good conversation is what I have been happiest with. There have also been, I'd say, discussions about, you know, really good discussions that have come out about sexuality, about representation, you know, arguing out against the kill your gays trope, which, I half see it and half don't, and I can go into that when I post my blog post, because there's going to be a blog post. I actually could not post Friday night, because number one, I was in Reno.
I'm sure there's many blog posts that are being written about the finale, not just you.
Actually, no, I wasn't in Reno. I had just come back from Reno. No, I am going to be, because also some of my perspective on it does come, I think, a little bit just from being autistic, that I have an emotional investment, but not an emotional expectation, if that makes sense. I'm really looking at it more as the details as opposed to what emotion it evoked. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure.
So it's like how I feel about it is irrelevant in regards to how it actually was. And so my feelings are in that region.
Let me get some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Sia Tiberi in chat says, if anyone is really that sore about things, they could always look for screen manipulations or fanfics. You know, I think that's an interesting way to kind of deal with it. And the way I would prefer to see people deal with it rather than bullying is that if you don't like the ending, write your own damn ending. I mean, it's not going to do anything to change what happened on TV, but at least you kind of release that from your system. And that's something you can share with other people who can then choose to accept it or reject it. You know, that's the great things about stories. You can either let it affect you or not, right?
Well, and see, that's the thing. And for me, I'm very... I'm not, you know, the big thing was the Destiel shippers, right? You know, Dean and Castiel, which I'm not one of them. I mean, if it ended up had being 100% canon, then okay, cool. You know, I didn't see it coming, you know, maybe one-sidedly, but it is what it is. I also don't get whatever subtext that people are pointing at, but again, that could just be because I'm autistic. We don't really usually get that kind of subtext. I mean, just as people, you know. But I thought that within the scope of what they had available, it was very well done. I was pleased with it. I was satisfied. And I cried like a baby, which is great because, and I might have even mentioned it in the past, I haven't really been able to cry even after my dad died. With everything going on, it just would not come out. And like with... Oh, yeah. With episode 18, I could cry some. With episode 20, I bawled. And every time I go back and watch any scene, I cry. And it's been really good for me because now I know what to do. If I need to cry, I just go back and watch some of those scenes, you know.
Isn't that interesting when art evokes that type of response? Because, you know, going to games, and not to spoil my gaming week, but surprise, I was playing No Man's Sky this week, and it was a very random thing that happened in the game, but it was something that made me think about my mom. And I did start, like, welling up a little bit. And, you know, I get through most days now not crying. You know, that all kind of stopped in 2017 when she passed. But there's definitely little moments in art that will evoke that type of response. So it's interesting, you know, and that even can also be TV shows or movies.
Even thinking about it right now, this is the first time I've actually talked to somebody verbally that is not Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Well. And Dan's not like the biggest fan of the show. He's caught episodes with me, but you know, we had a talk about it. I found his observations to be astute. But the biggest thing I kept thinking of reading everything on Twitter, because I've been living on Twitter lately just because
I've noticed you've had an increased Twitter presence from where we were a year ago for sure.
And I actually really, really enjoy the platform a lot more. I don't really do the list so much. I kind of like the randomness to come to me, and then I check on certain people in person.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the biggest parallel that just really struck out to me was the Mass Effect 3 ending, how people acted about that, to the point where they actually did go in and do a revised-ish ending, you know, have the various endings for it. And I just thought that it was, it just seemed like, hey, I've heard this song before. I've seen the same exact thing happen. And, you know, I was actually really happy enough and lucky enough that I could attend, some of the Q&A panels that Creation Entertainment has done in light of not being able to have conventions. They usually are the ones that run like the various Supernatural cons. And so today was the panel this morning with Misha Collins that played Castiel, and then with Jared Padalecki who played Sam. And I really liked what they had to say about it. I've recorded both of them. I'm planning on making them available at some point. But I really enjoyed the insights they got sort of behind the scenes as the actors behind it, and speaking of representation and how it went, and talking about, you know, their own feelings about the ending, which honestly I 100% see it. And by the way, Brad, Pod Culture in chat, that actually I think was absolutely necessary.
Please elaborate for our podcast listeners who can't see chat.
He said, the part I hated, fucking rebar. that a lot of people are kind of sticking on that point. And honestly enough, it's not the rebar that did it. It's the attacker that did it. It just happened to be there. And so, which, by the way, is always how I saw that going. And there's lots of parallels to something that happened in, I want to say season three. Yeah, it was, no, not season three. In season two. But I won't go into that here. I won't go into that here.
Yeah, Bobby's suggesting you do a VOG roundtable on the finale because clearly there's a lot more to say. I think you should.
I will
do
absolutely
it.
Do
get
that.
Some people together.
Yeah, we'll see about that happening. I don't have 50 million things going on.
Can I get another couple listener comments here and then we can move on?
Sure.
So this must be one of your Twitter buddies. I don't recognize this name, but SVRider1000 says, "I cried a lot also, LOL." Or, I'm sorry, "I cried also." I inserted a word there. LOL. "It was a long time coming for me and I'm going to miss this show." So you're not alone.
I am 1,000,000% with you on that.
Tying it to games again a little bit, SSG100 Matt says, "It's like folks attacked the Mass Effect crew after they didn't like the ending of 3. Threats, downvoting the game on platforms, it's just not necessary, no matter how important a fandom it is to you." Absolutely. And I think that's probably the note we'd want to kind of try to wrap this up on, is that, you know, that these types of responses are just like, it's too much. You know, if you don't like something, okay, you know, but somebody else might have liked it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing, is that right now, just watching the fandom in general, and, you know, I saw the same thing happening with Mass Effect, that people are going through the stages of grief. I mean, eventually the acceptance is going to happen. But, you know, that's why I've been really encouraging people. You know, I started writing a fanfic. I mean, now my fanfic is within the set canon. So it follows the ending as it portrayed on TV. But for me, I'm working out a few things in my fanfic. I've already written a chapter of it. I wrote that chapter I banged that out in like a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some really beautiful fan art come of it. I mean, the same thing happened, you know, I wrote my own fanfics for Mass Effect after the end, because to me, you know, my canon in Mass Effect for the ending is where Shepard lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wrote like, what, 3-4 different fanfics around that ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really would encourage any of my Twitter buddies who are listening to the podcast right now. I would really encourage you that with your feelings about this, with how you're doing it, put it into something creative. Which I do need to interject one last thing.
All right.
That a bunch of fans, you know, that's what I'm thinking of, just in their reaction to wanting to do something when they could not do anything about the ending, right? They gathered, they raised a lot of money for the Trevor Project. Like, the goal was something like $800, and it's now almost to 2,000.
Nice.
And I'll find the link to the charity, it's called Castile something. I'll have to look it up again. So I will find that again, and I'll put it in the chat here, and I'll see about reposting it again on my Twitter. I've posted about it a few times, but and that's what should have been done with Mass Effect. That should be done anytime the fandom is in arms and is upset about something. Take your energy and funnel it into something positive.
I'm so proud
of the Supernatural family for doing that.
I was just about to say,
proud.
It's interesting that you brought up specifically the Trevor Project, because I was, you know, just messing around on my new Xbox Series X that I talked about last week on the show. And, you know, Xbox has their own little like rewards app and rewards thing that you can do. And one of the things that's in there right now is that you can spend 1,000 points to basically donate $1 to the Trevor Project, and Microsoft will match that. And specifically that charity is in there and was called out. I noticed it was like a featured thing in the Xbox Rewards app. So I thought that was pretty cool. Check that out. And you can actually, they have a way you can earn 1,000 points really easy just by getting 2 achievements too. So it's pretty cool.
right, so I found it, by the way. I'm going to put the link in the chat because it's kind of a long one. But if you just look up the Castiel Project. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was actually wrong. The goal was $1,500, and we've raised $46,220 for the Trevor Project.
Nice. All right. All right, well.
Blowing that out of the water by 40, by what, 400%? Almost 400%?
All right. Well, clearly you're going to need a 3-hour roundtable to get out all your thoughts on the Supernatural finale.
But I'm just saying that, you know, my last piece is just do what these fans have done. Funnel it into something good.
Funnel it into something good. And that's a message that can be used on gaming and all that as well to kind of tie it back. All right.
Indeed.
Well, speaking of gaming, sorry.
No
I'm
death.
Choking live on air. Sorry. Loki, why don't you take our kickoff topic story off my hands tonight, please? Because it's a game we talk a lot about on this show.
Yeah, so Pokemon Go had a major update that did a bunch of things. So first off, they added a level cap. They increased the level cap up to 50, which is pretty awesome. They are also introducing seasons that change every 3 months. Which will introduce, I guess, new Pokemon exclusive to those seasons as well. And they're also introducing new monsters that were part of the Kalos region. And so they've added a bunch of those as well.
Gen 6, Pokemon X and Y, basically. Some of them sit with me here in the OLR studio, actually, except they're on the other side, so I can't grab them. But some of them are with me here in the OLR studio. It's those starters from X and Y.
So just kind of, you know, all these updates all at once, and it's going to be coming out on November 30th is when that's going to hit. So pretty cool. Lots of cool stuff. There's also going to be a special badge if you have hit 40 already once the update hits, and you'll be able to get that. So it's a legacy. And then I guess starting December 2nd, they're also going to have some special French Pokemon as well. Klefki.
Yeah, it's like another regional. You can only get it in France because that's what Pokemon X and Y was inspired by. They did something similar for New York City in Gen 5. There's like a bowl you can only get in New York City that area. It's actually pretty generous. It's not just New York City, but that area.
Yeah, so sounds exciting. I turned it on the other day just to... because I haven't played in a while. So there was a few new Pokemon that I was able to catch, but still not really playing it.
Some of the requirements to get to level 50 are coming out already because the game is already went live with that in like Australia or some parts of Australia and some other parts of the world that always kind of get to test this type of stuff. So, of course, Reddit is all over the information gathering and all this stuff. Just to give you an idea what it takes to get to level 41. All right. So to get from 0 to 40, 20 million XP total will get you there, all right? So, but if you want to get to 41, you'll have to get that bar up to 26. You'll have to get 6 million more XP, and you'll have to power up a legendary Pokemon 20 times. You can do that, winning enough raids and getting the rare candy. Win 30 raids. That's going to take a little time. You got to find 30 raids to play. If you're only using the free passes, that's going to take you a month. Yeah. And here's the big one, catch 200 Pokemon in a single day. And that is the requirements to get to 41.
Don't now, people have lives?
Well, I mean, I think I can do it with my Bluetooth, but this is definitely the kind of thing where you would have to grind the game for like 4 or 5 hours just to get to 41. And, you know, the interesting question is why? Because... anybody who's level 40 will be able to power up Pokemon all the way to level 50, which will also be the new level cap for your Pokemon. It used to be that you could only level Pokemon one level higher than you are now. But now they're going to make it so that you can level Pokemon up to 10 levels higher than you are now. So really the only point to get to level 41, 42, 43, and so forth is Epine. There's really not a lot of other point that I saw anyway. I don't know, Chatters, if you have an opinion on why would you even get to 50 outside of showing off your, you know, pokey dick, then I'm curious what the reasons are, because I'm not sure. And it just, you know, they only have the requirements up to level 46 right now, because level 46 has a take a snapshot of Pokemon 7 days in a row requirement. So it's time gated to a week. So they like physically can't get past it yet to see what's beyond 46. But do you know how much experience you need to get to level 46? 82 million total.
No, not so playing the game.
1 to 20 is the end of the game right now. You're going to have to go through the current game 4 times to get to level 46. Now, with as much as I've played Pokemon Go on and off over the years, I've gone the 1 through 40 twice. I have about 42 million XP. That is just enough to get me to level 43 if I do all the tasks. So I don't know. I know. Like, on one hand, the new levels sound interesting. On the other, I feel like it's an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway, where it's all made up and the points don't matter.
To me, this sounds just like Ingress, where like I got stuck not being able to level up to another level because you had certain requirements that you had to hit, and I could never hit them. Couldn't get enough silver badges or whatever, gold badges. So,
technically that's in this. Yeah. I left that out, but you're going to have a certain number of gold and now platinum. There's new badges coming, platinum badges, in order to be able to get to certain levels. And it's, it didn't look too bad to me. But I don't know. I also have a lot of history in Pokemon Go, so whatever. By the way, I guess I should mention this at some point since you brought up Ingress. I haven't played Ingress in 8 days. I think I'm kind of over it. Some stuff happened and I'm just kind of like, what am I doing this for again? Like, oh yeah, it's been very motivating to go out and walk and do some of that other stuff. But honestly, like, the game is getting stale. It's hemorrhaging a lot of players. And even though it's probably the player base is maybe a quarter of what it used to be at one point, Niantic still can't seem to be able to police their own game and make sure it's fair. So I kind of hit a point where I'm like, I've had it. Yet I just turned right around and started playing Pokemon Go. So it's like, I guess I'm still kind of Niantic. But my thing is, yeah, I'm not going to give it any money. I'm done.
It's a different kind of game. Well, you know what I do is they've got that whole Google app. It's a Google Rewards or whatever. And so you take pictures of your receipts when you go shopping. And, you know, of course, they steal your data that way. But
is that on iOS? I always thought that was an Android-only thing.
Oh, I don't know. But it's on Android. And I've got like, I get like at least $1 a week. So, and it just, you know, I could use it for in-game stuff if I was actually playing Pokemon Go, but I don't. So, but it's a cheap way to do it. Just, you know.
I'll just be a bigger dick on the gym game in Pokemon Go. I've usually been very passive in that game, but I'll get my 50 coins. So Ingress taught me how to be a territorial dickhead. So I'll do it. Somebody tried it with me today in Pokemon Go and was feeding golden berries to their Pokemon that was still in the gym. Well, I noticed this person was in another gym down the street. So I used the good old Ingress trick. Attack it once, and while they're sitting there like waiting to recharge it when you attack it again, you go take the other gym down the street. And I fucking did it today as somebody. So you know what? I guess Niantic has unleashed the beast, if nothing else. We'll say that. So also, yeah, don't knock my... I would have never done it if this person hadn't knocked me out of a gym in less than 10 minutes. I didn't get a single coin from the gym because they knocked me right out. And I was like, oh, hell no. So... yeah. Act Deft in chat says territorial asshole the game. Fifth Dream says territorial asshole goose game. I'm sure the person I am like completely asserting dominance over is probably like a 13-year-old. But you know what, kid? Life's not fair. So there you go.
Get used to being beat down. And yeah.
Yeah. If you think I'm mean, wait until you have to deal with a bank and a job. Anyway, SSG100 Matt says, if you drop incense and stay home, you can get 200 Pokemon fine. That is true. Pokemon Go did roll back roll front the COVID-19 restrictions they had previously removed from the game. Those are back. So that's good.
Probably not a good take when a lot, you know, when we're having the largest spike ever in the United
States.
Well,
no, they remember how they took those things away? They put them back like 2 days ago. So incense spawns.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like they made that choice and then everybody started locking down even more and they're like, oh.
Yeah. Are you saying the recent spike in COVID cases is Niantic's fault?
What I'm saying is it's Ingress's fault.
And, okay. Sure.
I agree. No, what I'm saying is that, you know, perhaps, you know, they kind of got a clue when, you know, California, which I think is where their headquarters is, yes, locked down. And they're like, oh, maybe perhaps we should, you know, bring all that stuff back.
Yeah. Stay safe, everybody. It's crazy, crazy out there right now. So, all right. Yeah, if you are going to play Pokemon Go and stuff, just make sure you're doing it the right way. I mean, I went out and did Community Day over the weekend. I guess I'm getting into my gaming week, but whatever. I went out and did Community Day on Saturday, and honestly, I didn't run into anybody. It was pretty empty at the Capitol, and I imagine having a six-hour window is nice with that. My other understanding is that there was some type of political rally that turned into fist fighting that had been broken up before I got there. So maybe that helped clear the area of people, because I was like, wow, nobody's around and everything's fenced off. This is really pleasant today. So anyway, let's see. Going to some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Bonds006 says, going to Central Park with incense can also rake in 200 Pokemon. The issue would be food, restrooms, and battery power. Yeah, just, you know, have your plan for 200 Pokemon. I think it's doable, but you got to be dedicated. But again, I think you have to ask yourself the very hard question I've asked myself with a lot of games recently, which is, why? Or do you need to be level 41? Or 50, or whatever it is. Only Sonic in chat says, Pokemon Go still isn't opening on my iOS 14 phone, WTF. I run the most current iOS, like 14.1 or 2, whatever they're on right now, and it's fine. So not sure if it's a login issue or what's going on. Try uninstalling it and then reinstalling it. The classic mm-hmm. off and on again type of switch. You'd be surprised. I might sound like I'm talking down or something. I'm really not. It is a very obvious yet not so obvious fix sometimes. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on. We're dipping into our gaming weeks, so let's talk about our gaming weeks. How was your gaming week? Before we get to that, actually, I want to make sure I plug a certain something something, because today is very special, because we just launched here at VOG Network a brand new merchandise store. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, it's obviously, I never am going to sit here and go, you need to give us money. No, you don't. But I'm always very thankful when people do decide to do the subscriptions and the bits and all that good stuff. It's very, very nice. And, you know, we do spend money on hosting the website. There's a lot of, like, legal fees and things, because VOG Network is an actual business. Hopefully next year we can get into sponsoring conventions again to help, you know, get the word out about our shows and so on and so on. And for a long time, you guys have been asking, where can I get a VOG Network t-shirt? Please let me buy a VOG Network t-shirt. Well, good news. You can now buy a VOG Network t-shirt, and you just can go over to vognetwork.com/shop is the right word, I believe, Bobby Black Wolf, because I said store earlier, but I think Bobby is making both redirect. He's rob-proofing the URL. But vognetwork.com/shop will take you to the brand new merch store, where you can, I think what's in there right now, there's a Bobby Black Wolf mug. There are three different types of shirts in there. And there is some face masks. How appropriate for the season. Unfortunately, there were no black face masks. They only offer the face masks in white. But thankfully, we do have a white version of the VOG logo. It's actually black. You know what I'm saying? So it works on a piece of the white stuff. So, and if you like the VOG logo, say thank you to Dark Sakura, because she made that, like, what, 8 years ago at this point, whenever this network started. Was it 8 years ago? I lost track. I'm old.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. So vognetwork.com/shop. If you actually buy it during the show, it will scroll along the bottom and say, Rob Roberts just bought a VOG Network mask. So, I mean, that may be incentive or decent. You don't, it's an optional part. If you don't fill it out, I don't think it shows anything. So just a heads up on that. So if you're like, I don't want people to know what I'm buying, then don't fill that part out at the bottom and it won't scroll anything at all. So, but thank you, of course, for your support. Really appreciate it. I'm not going to pimp that all the time or every week, but we are going to look at trying to add stuff to it as well. Perhaps you'd like an OLR or an Orange Lounge Radio specific piece of merch. We're working on it. Soon, trademark. All right. Anyhow, let's get into our gaming weeks now, because I just want to make sure I got that announcement out. Vognetwork.com/shop. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was There's some pinball. We moved a lot of stuff around. I played Animal Crossing, of course, because I'm not going to not play Animal Crossing. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think all of my energy was on, like, Supernatural finale. And so that was sort of my focus. It's a shame there was never a video game, you know? Oh, well.
But I'm surprised I played, there wasn't.
There was tabletop RP. Okay. But, you know, like card games, there's Supernatural Clue, which I kind of want.
Oh, that's cool.
And Trivial Pursuits and Monopoly, because they did freaking versions of everything for Monopoly. But not really so much, just a lot of Animal Crossing and Wordscapes. That's my other jam.
All right. If that's it for Dark Sakura, we'll move to Loki and your gaming week.
I didn't play a whole lot this week because I've been just mainly working on my stuff. I did try to play a little bit of Minecraft, but the problem is that Mojang updated Bedrock this week to some new version that's supposed to have some parity with the Java version. And their servers are having trouble. Oh, I guess it's not necessarily that update as well, but they also added Realms to the PlayStation users. So now that they can access that as well and servers. And so that's causing all sorts of problems being able to connect to our realm and stuff. So that kind of sucked because my kids wanted to play with me and I couldn't. So I did play a little bit though, and that was all right, but couldn't play in my realm. And that's disappointing. But I worked a lot on my game, and that's still coming along.
I know. I keep seeing your little updates on Twitter, and I'm so I really want to see it. I'm so excited. It's going to be the best
really
holiday present.
I really want to show it to you.
All right. Well, get finish it up. All right. My gaming week. Continued adventures on my Xbox Series X that I talked about last week. I actually did a stream on my personal channel earlier this week. Cheap plug over at Rob Roberts, also here on Twitch. The video on demand is still there, and it's I don't lock my video on demands, so you can go watch it if you want. But I did a pretty thorough playthrough of, well, not complete playthrough, but I was explaining and narrating my choices in No Man's Sky. So I was playing that for a good probably 2 hours on my feed earlier this week on Xbox Series X. I gotta say, I tried to stream originally from the Xbox, and I guess the one negative I'm gonna say about the Xbox right now is that trying to stream from it on Twitch sucks. I'm sorry. It's not good compared to how it was on Sony, because you have to do it through the Twitch app and you have no way to test the audio and you have no way to test the video without going live. I'm a perfectionist and I hate that. So I hit the button to go live to broadcast from my Xbox, and my camera looked like shit in the living room and I couldn't hear myself even though I had a headset plugged into my controller. So I was like, all right, this is a terrible idea.
Do you just hook the camera to the Xbox? How does that work?
It will use any USB camera.
Huh.
So it's that, I guess that is a plus over PlayStation, is that you can use any USB camera. I actually used this same camera that we use for Orange Lounge Radio is on a little tripod. So I moved it into the living room, and yeah, but my light, you guys know my living room, the lighting in there is terrible. So it wasn't good on the stream. So I did like 2 seconds of that and I was like, forget it. I'm going to move the Xbox into my office. And honestly, that was really easy. Because one thing I love about the Xbox, it's a box. It's a decently sized console, but it's very easy to just pick up and move. There's no power brick or anything. I already had an HDMI cable hooked up in my office. I just had to unplug the Wii U from it. Sorry, rest in peace. But then I put the box, plugged it in where the Wii U was, put in the Wii U's HDMI cable, and ta-da, I was able to stream the Xbox in my office on my PC. Very easy. And so, yeah, that's how I'll do it in the future. Yeah, SG100 Matt says, the alternative is to just put it into a capture card and do it through OBS. Yes, that is what I did.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to start doing, because I've been watching some people actually speedrun the console Minecraft doing random seeds, and It looks like it's a pretty casual thing you can do. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to get into it, because there's not a lot of competition on the console version of it. Whereas I normally play on the PC console version of it, if you will, but I can play on the console version of it. It's on my Xbox right here, so it makes sense. Nice.
Yeah, so that made it really easy to stream. So I'll do that again for sure, because it's interesting because at least two people, one of them being Bobby Blackwolf, has said, you know, after you kind of played that on your stream, it made me want to go check out all this stuff that I didn't realize they'd added to the game. So I take that as a compliment. Thank you. Although Bobby found out the PlayStation 5 version of No Man's Sky has some issues right now, and it's all with the HDR. The HDR effect is... it's like turned up to 21 on a scale of 1 to 10. The HDR is 21, and so it looks really bad. But if you turn the HDR off, the game runs fluid fine. I had no doubt that the game would run just as smoothly on PlayStation 5 as it does on Xbox. And to be fair, the Microsoft version has some weird shit all of its own. Like the aliens, I mentioned this last week, the aliens will sometimes hold things and that thing will move all over. I have warped into a planet just to be dropped from 6 feet above. Like, I warped! There's no ground. So there's some weird bugs still, but I'm sure Hello Games is aware, and I know they're aware of the HDR thing, and so they'll fix that all up in the coming weeks because they've been very good at supporting their game. So yeah, No Man's Sky. Also on Xbox, I played Ori and the Blind Forest. Not the new one, Will of the Wisp, because in my head I'm like, I can't play the new one until I beat the old one. So I started the old one again, and I always forget how the beginning of that video game is like the beginning of the movie Up. Like, you're just, it's a lot. So just be emotionally ready that you're going to have some feels when you start playing Ori and the Blind Forest. But otherwise, it's a beautiful game, and this is the first time I've been able to play it in 4K HDR. It looks great. Love it. So, there's that. And, yeah, otherwise I've been continuing my adventures in Final Fantasy 14, of course. A little bit of Hades too, just a little bit. So that's my gaming week. All right. So with that, I think we should get into some gaming news and, see what's been happening this week. Loki, why don't you start us off with some gaming news?
Yes. I'm very excited that Cyberpunk is right around the corner. They just put out a brand new gameplay trailer, and it looks amazing. So to kind of coincide with that, they are, you know, recognizing that there's been a problem with DMCA takedowns with copyrighted music on Twitch. They've actually worked on creating a brand new mode for Cyberpunk that allows folks to be able to disable certain copyrighted tracks. Basically saying, if you're planning on live streaming Cyberpunk, or if you just want to make videos, we want to introduce you to a new mode that allows you to disable certain copyrighted tracks. We know that for content creators, licensed music can sometimes be problematic. So with this new mode, you'll be able to disable a small number of selected tracks, which could cause some issues, replacing them with a different song, helping to avoid any problems. Thank you. I know other games that do that, but it is nice to see that they are recognizing that in this day and age that it's probably, you know, a good thing to do. So I'm looking forward to them trying that out when it does come out.
Yeah, I wonder if this is a new normal for games in a way. Yeah, you know, it really should be. We have seen it before, you're right, but obviously there's a lot of, you know, hype around this game because the number of times it's been delayed and, you know, the fact that it's by the guys who did The Witcher, which is very well received. I'm glad they have this option in there, and it makes me wonder if it's kind of setting an example for other games to follow that maybe should consider putting in a DMCA or DMCA proof mode, or whatever you want to call it, in the game as well.
I don't know if I'd still be interested to see if it's gonna, I mean, I think they're doing their best guess on this right now with licensing, because it's all tricky with that type of stuff, but hopefully that if it doesn't end up working out, that they can still patch out more stuff on it. I just like, at least the effort is nice.
Yeah. Speaking of like Twitch antics, I'm going to kind of sidebar a little bit here because Bobby was talking about this in depth on his show. He even got a call on it. Somehow it wasn't even on our list tonight, but it's close to this story. And it has to do with the new Hyrule Warriors that came out, the Age of Calamity, which I know I have a lot of friends on Twitch who have been streaming that and playing that.
Yeah, my son has it.
Oh, really? How? How's your son like it? You didn't bring it up during your game of week. Well, I guess it's your kid's game of week, but
I'm not playing it yet. He's very excited about it because he played through the demo like constantly. He played a ton of the demo. Thankfully, what's kind of nice about it, though, is because he played the demo, it saved his progress and he was able to continue just after the demo. And plus, it also gave him like some starter sword or something like that for playing the demos, like a bonus, which is pretty cool. But he's really enjoying it.
Real quick, sorry. This is another great new trend in games, too. The Dragon Quest XI Definitive Edition demo on Xbox, same thing. If you play, and it's a lot, it's like a 10-hour demo, and the save file will transfer over to the full game when it comes out. So just on it, I like that trend, too.
Because he was worried that he have to restart his progress, and I'm like, well, you know, it's a demo. You know, sometimes you have to do that. But I asked him after he played it, because he said, oh, yeah, I'm at Death Valley, and I've already done all this stuff, and he's talking about it. And I'm like, oh, so you didn't have to restart? He's like, no. It let me continue from where I was. And so, yeah, he's really enjoying it. He's, like, huge into the Breath of the Wild lore and everything now, which is kind of crazy. He plays a ton of Breath of the Wild. And now he's been playing a ton of this, so it's pretty cool.
Boy, I keep forgetting your kid is getting older and older, and to the point where like he's getting to be like a young man with his own taste. Oh my god, this is your youngest son! Wow,
yeah,
he's getting older too.
Yeah, my 10-year-old son. Now he's playing mostly Roblox still, and a little bit of Among Us, but it's mostly my youngest son that's playing the Hyrule Warriors and the Legend of Zelda stuff. He's really into Breath of the Wild.
So anyway, the reason why I brought up Hyrule Warriors, tangent train, is because some folks in Australia were streaming it right when the game came out in Australia, and they ended up getting DMCA'd by Nintendo because they were playing the game before release. But it wasn't before release in Australia. It's just that Nintendo of America was America-centric and probably, you know, set the clock on their legal eagles to be midnight or 9 p.m. Pacific, whatever. And Australia's, what, like 18 hours ahead or something? So long story short, these guys in Australia got shut down for breaking DMCA when they really weren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up. I mean, but at the same time, it's a tough lesson in we are all at video game companies' mercies on the streaming thing right now.
It is. And it's this is not new. I mean, there's been times where this is a little bit more egregious, though, because there's been times where a copy will leak out and then they will play it like several days before it comes out. And then they'll DMCA them because of that.
Uh-huh.
But this is released in your own region. I mean, that's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, it's rough, and I hope Nintendo would work with Twitch to restore these Australian people who are really doing nothing wrong.
Was it Nintendo or Tecmo Koei? Because you know, they're the ones that developed the game.
I believe all the stories were saying Nintendo. But I didn't Nintendo publish it, even if Tecmo Koei made it. I think Nintendo still published it. Yeah, Bobby's confirming it was Nintendo that did it. So anyway, you know, but tough lesson for our friends in Australia is that...
Well, it shouldn't even be a lesson. There's no lesson to learn. You bought the game, you're playing it on release. Well, I don't understand why they even got struck down.
I get what you're saying, Loki, and you're right. Maybe that's not the best word choice on my part, but I still am going to err on the side of we are all on borrowed time with this video game streaming thing anyway as it is. So Nintendo is gracious enough to let us, you know, stream the game, and unfortunately they, you know, had the clock too early on the Australia thing. But Twitch is on American soil, and Nintendo of America is on American soil. So by broadcasting through Twitch, they kind of were held to the American rules. And it's something to think about. I get, and Loki, it's not that I disagree with you. It's one of those, like, it sucks, but it's the way it is. And well, there ain't a lot we can do about it.
They make it too difficult to broadcast their games. Then people aren't going to broadcast their games. They'll broadcast other games. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. I mean, they took this hard stance before with, like, having everybody sign up for their Nintendo partner program so that they could stream games or put stuff on YouTube so they could share in the revenue. I mean,
I have to point, it's scrolling along the bottom right now because we have headlines that scroll throughout the show from various gaming websites. Someone's already playing Cyberpunk 2077 on Twitch.
Well, that's a whole different thing. That's obviously someone has a review copy or they have I would assume it's a review copy this early. They wouldn't be shipping yet. So they have a review copy that they're probably playing, and that's a big no-no, and they will get caught, I would assume.
ActDef does want to point out, and it is always important, if we get facts and stories have changed, we need to report those. So ActDef in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says they have been restored. And Bobby is saying reviewers don't have their copies yet, you know, because we're in a position on Twitter and stuff, and just having networked with enough people at E3 over the years and stuff, we sometimes know when that stuff is out there, and Cyberpunk is not out there yet. But you know what is out there are the warehouses starting to store the disc, because, you know, it's a process to get these things.
Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Just from the distribution side, it's usually more last minute, but maybe these larger retailers are, I would think it's a bit early. Normally, product doesn't arrive that much that early to a location.
But they delayed the game for a day one patch, and they did it really late in the game. So what do you want to bet? A lot of stuff was still moving for the old release date.
No, I don't buy it, because even if that was the case, I mean, that was still several weeks before it would launch. It's not to say that that hasn't happened. I mean, like, for example, there was...
I'm only not pushing back because you've worked in distribution, so I'm gonna...
I'm just saying, like, if it were, like, an issue where, like, they had to recall something, they would recall it back. It wouldn't be just sitting in a warehouse for months, because they would be tagged with the wrong release date anyways. You'd see, you know, do not open until, like, November 10th or something. I don't remember the original release date. I think it was in November. I don't know. Whatever. Someone has it. Someone's playing it. I'm sure they're not happy about it, but at least they're not striking their videos down, as far as I'm aware. They're more of like saying, just be aware, you know, this is out there. So,
well, it is nice though. Companies. It is nice though that ActDef mentioned in chat, they have been restored. So I'm glad they were able to work it out, you know, the Nintendo in Australia and all that stuff. But, it wasn't a great thing that happened, but maybe it's something for Nintendo to think about in the future, that maybe they should set that clock. You know, if the game releases, what would be the first country in the world to get video games? New Zealand? If that would, or there's an island, yeah. The, is Vanuatu or something, but none of those small islands are technically game region releases. They kind of usually, I think a place like that kind of shares with New Zealand and Australia. So let's assume New Zealand is the first country in the world that gets stuff. Then the clock has to be set to their time, basically. So anyway. All right. Phoenix 7726 says, I mean, it's CD Projekt Red. If it did get out and it was ready to ship out, they might not care much. Might have figured that it was inevitable. It would probably also depend on what was being shown. My understanding is the person who has Cyberpunk was showing the beginning of the game, which CD Projekt Red's kind of shown a million times already anyway. If that person was out there streaming the ending, well, my understanding is there's supposed to be a variety of endings, so maybe it won't be the most. But be careful when you start to stream stuff deep into the game, especially if there's big spoilers. That's the stuff I would be very careful with. I'm not up and up on the story behind Cyberpunk, so I don't know if there's like if there could be death characters and stuff that could really spoil it for some people. I don't know, but I'd be very careful in streaming any of that stuff, because that's the stuff they're going to want to keep a lid on for sure.
All right.
Bobby says, apparently the prologue is 6 hours long, 6 hours before you get to the title card, if you thought Persona or Kingdom Hearts 2 had a long prologue.
How's that compared to Yakuza Like a Dragon? Which, by the way, I watched some other people talk about that game, and it has me a little bit more interested to actually play, because they say it is very much like an RPG, like a turn-based RPG. It is very slow to get started. But... man, I've been playing that for several hours, and I'm still not past the tutorial section of the game.
Wow. All right. Well, let's move on. I want to talk about another big game that's recent, and that is Doom Eternal. You know, came out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and you know, has it's now on Game Pass. So if you want to play it on your Series X, you can do that. It's on PC, of course. The platform that's missing thus far is the Nintendo Switch, and you might remember the I want to say original Doom, but the original Doom reboot from a few years ago that did come out on Nintendo Switch. and it was received pretty well. So folks on Nintendo Switch, some of them were really looking forward to Doom Eternal. Well, I shouldn't say past tense. So here's the thing. It is still coming, but there was a little bit of confusion because apparently GameStop reached out to some folks who pre-ordered Doom Eternal on Switch and said the game is canceled. So this caused people to go, what? Oh, is this because Microsoft bought Bethesda? So now they're canceling the Switch release? How could this happen? Well, here's what's happened. So the Bethesda support account on Twitter chimed in. We have not made any announcements on Doom Eternal being canceled for Switch. Keep an eye on our website and official Twitter channels for more information. Well, here's the statement from Bethesda. While Doom Eternal is 100% on track for an imminent digital-only release on Nintendo Switch, the absence of a physical release at retail resulted in canceled pre-orders. Affected customers will receive full refunds and should contact their preferred retailer for more information. So the physical version of Doom Eternal was canceled, but it will still release in digital form only, which, you know, may be a problem if you're a collector. If you're, you know, but a lot of people are buying digital anyway, so it's not really a problem. What's to blame? We don't know. Was the demand there? We don't know. Is it the pandemic and supply shortages and being able to make the game? We don't know the reasons. We just know it's not going to be happening physically anymore. Let me ask you guys, though, if this was a game you were really interested in and they suddenly canned the physical release in favor of a digital only one, would this make you not want to buy it, or would you just kind of shrug your shoulders and be like, eh, all right, well, at least I'll still play the game?
I mean, on the Switch, probably not a big deal. I get most of my games digitally anyways, except last Hyrule Warriors I did pick up physically because I have so many games installed to my memory card that, like, I'm running out of space, so I just figured I'd grab this one physically, but, you know, it's no big deal. I don't really... If at this point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think there's so much that's digital only anyway. It's not a huge deal. Like just a couple weeks ago, or last week, actually, we were talking about Fuser. Shane was on the show talking about how much he loved Harmonix's new Fuser. And I remember when I was like, oh, that's like a download only thing, right? So how much is it? Like $20? He's like, no, it's $60. It's a full price game. I'm like, what? But that's where some things are going now is that, you know, and to be fair, if I were to buy it on Steam or a lot, I'd be paying full price for it there too. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know. Anyway, one other thing I want to say though on the Bethesda and Xbox issue before we go to our next story is that the folks at Microsoft have clarified. This is coming from Tim Stewart, who's the chief financial officer over Xbox. Said, quote, what we'll do in the long run is we don't have intentions of just pulling all of Bethesda content out of Sony or Nintendo or otherwise. But what we want is we want that content in the long run to be either first or better or best, or you pick your differentiated experience on our platforms. We will want Bethesda content to show up the best as on our platforms. That's not a point about being exclusive. That's not a point about we're being adjusting timing, content, or roadmap. But if you think something like Game Pass, if it shows up best in Game Pass, that's what we want to see. And we want to drive our Game Pass subscriber base through that Bethesda pipeline. So a couple interesting things about it. No, they're not going to pull out of Sony and Switch, but they do fully intend on making the best version on Xbox. That's for sure.
I mean, as it makes sense.
Of course, that should be obvious to literally anybody. The other interesting thing about that comment, nowhere in it did Tim Stewart, the chief financial officer, say the word Xbox. The word he said was Game Pass. Just an interesting observation. There's been a lot of talk about what is Microsoft's plan in this whole thing. Does Microsoft care about how many Xboxes they sell? Because that answer says that's not what they're looking at, Mr. Chief Financial Officer.
They don't make money off consoles.
It's just an interesting confirmation of something I think we all, I mean, a backhanded confirmation, fine, it's not really a confirmation, but it is for me, of something we've all been kind of speculating about anyway as to what is Microsoft really in this to do right now. That was the most interesting part of the quote for me. The rest of it was obvious. Anyway. ZenMonkey11 in our chat says, buying Skyrim Digital on PS4 before it's pulled from PlayStation 4's store. I actually don't think that'll happen, ZenMonkey. What does Microsoft have to gain from that? Especially a game as old and dusty at this point as Skyrim. I'm making it sound terrible. It's really not. I just played Skyrim last week, okay? It's still gorgeous all these years later. Alan is playing it again right now with all the new mods. So Skyrim is in some ways a timeless game. What does Microsoft have to gain pulling it from PlayStation when so many people already have that game on PlayStation? Like, I just... Would Don Matrick have pulled it from PlayStation? Probably. Is Phil Spencer going to do it? Nah. And I think a lot of these other comments we've seen coming from Microsoft, they're not thinking about we've got to have Xbox be the only platform. It's Game Pass. So when Sony puts out that competitor to Game Pass, we'll talk about that later in the show. When Sony inevitably puts out that competitor Game Pass beyond what they're already doing with PlayStation Plus, that, my friend, is where you will never see Skyrim. You will never see Doom. You will never see Starfield or any Bethesda product on PlayStation Game Pass. Sony is going to have to get in bed with some other companies. I mean, but granted, they've got a pretty strong first-party lineup as it is. You can't, you know, I think they do pretty well with what they got. But Sony will have to get in bed with other third parties to get on their Game Pass. Phoenix7726 says, on one hand, Microsoft is not EA, so Bethesda will probably not die. On the other hand, consolidation ain't good in this market. I think it's really early to be thinking about consolidation and those types of things, too, especially in this nature of this pandemic world we're living in. And, like a lot of companies are having a hard time putting out games right now. Fuck, look at Microsoft themselves. Halo should, in any other year... Like, needed to be out now. But, it got delayed to 2021.
Not like that.
Yeah.
But it didn't need to be out that good. or that fast. It's just, was not ready.
It's different now. We have to be thinking of this industry different now than we were thinking about it in 2012 or whenever the last round of consoles were. I can't get my years fucking straight anymore. Nothing about me straight. I can't get the years together anymore, but I think it was 2012. But the way we're approaching things, it's different now. It is so different. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura. But then there's Nintendo, right?
Yeah. So, and this is something that's already happened a couple of days ago as of now, but on the 19th, there was the update for Animal Crossing New Horizons. We got some maple leaves that are floating down that you can catch, like getting the cherry blossoms. We had all the holiday events and some toys and new stuff that you can get and crafting. And you also had the introduction of Turkey Day, which is the 26th. And Toy Day on December 24th, with that creepy ass reindeer jingle with his creepy ass eyes. Turkey Day is fun because you have to collect ingredients to make dishes so everyone can have Turkey Day, where they, you know, apparently eat his kindred. And then, of course, Toy Day is, you know, you'll get all the snow and decorated trees and ornaments and crafting and stuff like that. They've also put in new hairstyles and reactions, which I have yet to redeem. I probably should do that. But the thing that's really good about the hairstyles is that it's bringing in more hairstyles that are, I'd say, typically associated with the Black community. So there's, like, you know, puffs and cornrows and natural hair and everything, which I think is wonderful because it's representation. Mm-hmm. There's also a home storage limit upgrade. So basically, if you have paid off your final loan in full, then you can get your your storage expanded to 2,400 slots, which I needed. Yes. I had a very full storage.
Sia Tabiri in our chat room is clearly more excited about this than anything else, saying in all caps, more home storage. I no longer need to sell something every time I see a cute thing at the Able Sisters.
Pretty much. I've been just trying to keep like the non-orderable items in my inventory. But yeah, I don't keep many pants. I have, because I mean, basically my character dresses like I do. It's jeans and flannel and, you know, t-shirts and shit. So, but anyway, you can also now visit random islands, in your dreams. So instead of having to have a dream address, you can just go wherever. There is a collaboration with Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. You can get a Pocket Camp smartphone. You can, and this is the big thing for this one, is that you can do data transfers. So it allows you to you to transfer your resident data to another system, including your name, appearance, equipment, along with your inventory, your storage, and your home. There's a whole separate transfer feature that will let you do the save data and the island itself and the residents to another system.
But no, they couldn't change the fact that if I don't want my youngest son to be in charge of my island, I can't change who is actually in charge of my island.
Feedback. but anyway, there's also more new seasonal items that are going to start on December 1st at Nookstop. And different festive items to decorate between the 26th and 31st of December. So, fun stuff. I've been enjoying it when I've actually had energy to play. Getting lots and lots of leaves. I think I've already made half of the fall crafting already. It's been pretty cool. Very cute.
Jamie, I have something to confess. I don't think I've touched...
You haven't played in a while.
I haven't played in a while. I don't think I've touched my island since Labor Day. Does Ketchup hate me now?
She's probably crying and thinks that you haven't come to see her, but you can repair your relationship with Ketchup. You can repair it, Ketchup. Rob. Actually, do me a favor.
No.
When you play, let me come over and catch a roach.
Oh.
I think I can catch a roach. No, shoot. Only you can do it. Crap. I don't know if they actually did that in the game because I didn't see anything in the inventory, but remember in the old games, if you didn't play for a while, you could go into your house and catch bugs.
Interesting.
But I don't think you can do that because you can't actually use the bug net inside of a building now.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
All right. Mm. So no roach catching for you. All right. Let's move on to our next story, Loki.
So this is pretty cool. So apparently IO Interactive, they've revealed that they're beginning work on a brand new project, Project 007. Of course, IO Interactive, best known for the Hitman series. I mean, that could only be good. So apparently, they are, you know, creating an original Bond game. They said it's a monumental undertaking, and they believe that IO Interactive, working closely with their partners at EON and MGM, are going to be able to deliver an amazing game. So that's all we know with, you know, that right now, but... I mean, it sounds like a good combination.
Yeah. I was thinking recently, too. I think it was because of Sean Connery's passing. I was kind of thinking, like, oh, it's been a while since we've had, like, a real, like, kick-butt James Bond game. I know they, you know, obviously GoldenEye is going to be that standard that every other game
is
going to
measure
to. Well,
they tried to do the GoldenEye Reloaded, and unfortunately, lightning didn't strike twice there. Nope. So,
but didn't they EA or some other company made a couple games? I thought, wasn't there, like, a... I don't even think it was Skyfall, but I feel like there was, like, a game around that time that was, like, a separate, like, story all to its own.
There, like, a unique story?
I thought so.
I don't...
I could be wrong. I might be confusing it with that older game on PlayStation 2, but...
Well, they had, like, there was... Let's see. I'm trying to think. I know they had that Legends game. They had like kind of a whole bunch of different.
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking of.
There.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that was like necessarily a, you know, unique thing. Bloodstone, but I don't know if that, I don't think that's based off of a movie.
No,
I don't know.
That's not a movie title. So, huh. Well, anyway, I think it'll be interesting to see the Hitman team and what they do with James Bond. It'll be interesting. Zen Monkey 11 in chat says GoldenEye Source is the best to date. So, all
right. Yeah, right. I mean, but that thing's more of a fan project. That's certainly not Activision's GoldenEye Reloaded, which is not of that caliber or quality.
Yes. I feel like we just had a story on GoldenEye Source a couple weeks ago. So, all right. Well, let's move on and talk about maybe this James Bond game will be so good it gets nominated at the Game Awards in a couple of years. We did get the nominee list for the Game Awards 2020, which obviously is going to be a bit of a virtual event. They are going to be using 3 sound stages in Los Angeles, London, and Tokyo, especially since people still can't travel right now. Makes a lot of sense. You can't get all those Japanese developers to LA, so they're going to have to do something in Tokyo. But of course, obviously, you know, they're going to still be taking COVID precautions, so I don't know how they're going to do it. Watching some of these other award shows that have taken place have been kind of interesting. They are seeing it's only going to be minimal attendees, mainly production crew and presenters. So no like audience, obviously. I mean, we know that's not going to happen. But Jeff Keighley has talked about how it is going to allow additional presentation events similar to past shows, but it's also exploring taking the Game Awards to different venues in the future. Anyway, as it was previously, there's going to be 45 different platforms you can watch the Game Awards on, so they're still trying to keep up the number of viewers for this, and we have the nominees. So, obviously, I could read every category, but there's a lot. If you want to check them out and you want to vote on the winners, you can do that over on the official Game Awards website. But by the way, viewer votes only count for 10% of the total vote. 90% is the jury, which is, you know, a lot of industry people. So food for thought. Your vote doesn't matter that much. All right. moving on to Game of the Year nominees. This is the one everybody talks about. So the nominees for Game of the Year are Animal Crossing New Horizons. An entry that I think is surprising and non-surprising, being that it's 2020, and this is a game, you know, we've talked about it at length on this show, thanks Dark Sakura, but all of us really have been obsessed with Animal Crossing as a way to deal with the pandemic. So not surprised to see it here in the list for Game of the Year. There's always one Nintendo game in there. Doom Eternal is also nominated for Game of the Year, which we brought up earlier. The Final Fantasy VII Remake is nominated for Game of the Year. Ghosts of Tsushima is nominated for Game of the Year. Hades is up for Game of the Year. And The Last of Us Part 2 is the final nominee for Game of the Year. So some games that are not on the list. Cyberpunk 2077. But that's because they delayed it past the eligibility time frame. We talked about that during the last delay. Now that it comes out in December, it missed the delay window for this, so that's why Cyberpunk is not nominated. Some other games that didn't get nominated for Game of the Year. Ori and the Will of the Wisps got nominated in some other categories, but some folks were thinking it was a shoe-in for Game of the Year nominee. Half-Life Alyx, despite everything it did for VR, did get some other awards in some technical categories like Best Game Direction, Best Audio Design, was not nominated for Game of the Year. Some other categories that I do think are interesting. Best mobile game, Among Us, is nominated. Among Us came out in 2018. So it's interesting that it's there. It's kind of like the Grammys. Your best new artist the year people finally have heard of you, I guess. let's see, what else? What was the other one I wanted to say? The best ongoing game was an interesting one as well.
No Man's Sky was, I know, for best.
Yeah, No Man's Sky is in that category, which, you know, I love that, but it's got some tough competition. Apex Legends, I mean, they've got, and Fortnite, kind of in a similar vein. Destiny 2 is in that category, and Call of Duty Warzone, also in that category. So, interesting. Bobby Blackwolf is wondering if Among Us released for mobile this year. That's a good question. You might be right on that front. That could be. Some folks in chat putting their opinion out there. ActDev says, who do I think deserves to win? Ghost of Tsushima. Who do I think is going to win? The Last of Us Part 2. What game is going to be pretty cool if it won? Animal Crossing. For me, I've only played half the games, so it's not really fair for me to like put my too much in this. There is a big part of me that's rooting for Hades. Just the fact that it is that little indie game that could in this year, I have to admit, like me personally, that's the one I want to see win. Based on everything I've heard around the internet and buzz and stuff like that, though, I actually think Ghost of Tsushima has a really good shot. I kind of think similar to how Shadows Die Twice won last year. I kind of feel like Ghost of Tsushima's. Yes, I know there's The Last of Us Part Two. That's going to be tough, but I don't know. There was some tough competition last year too. There's something about the Ghost of Tsushima that I think is going to be the tough one to beat. So we'll see. Any thoughts early on this list? I mean, I know you guys are like me and probably haven't played them all, but.
Haven't played most of them. I mean, they're all good choices.
Yeah.
So I don't see a problem with any of those. I know some people don't like Last of Us 2 being in there, but.
Some people are wrong.
There's a lot of people who can get over a lot of stuff.
Exactly. So. Jamie, I don't even think I have to ask which one in that group you're rooting for. But as much as you're an Animal Crossing fan, I know you got to be smiling that something like Hades got in there, too. It's always nice to see the indie folks get.
I still have to play it.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
I haven't played it.
All right.
Yeah. I'm really happy. I actually really enjoy the art style in it. Mm-hmm. I hope so. I mean, I'd really love to see Last of Us 2, you know.
Mm. Very cool. All right, well, we'll see. The Game Awards themselves are taking place on December the 10th, so you don't have that long to wait. That's the interesting thing about the Game Awards. I feel like the nominees come out, and then it's like 2 weeks later is the award show. Like, it's a very fast turnaround. I feel like it's faster than the Oscars.
You want to talk about fast turnaround? Like, they're already, they're talking about doing a G4 special. Like, what, in a couple days?
Yeah.
Like some reunion special?
Well, it's already been taped because one of my Twitter people made it no secret that they're in it. And it's not somebody that was involved in the old G4. So, you know, they've apparently reached out to some big streamers and folks like that, which is not terribly surprising. Something Bobby picked up on, which I neglected to notice it when I first saw it. Because I have to admit, I don't idolize G4 television the way some of you do. Like, I'm just putting it out there. Like, why focus on this one thing when there is so much other stuff out there in the media world?
Where's my tech TV reunion special?
Well, okay, and that's what I was going to say is that Bobby had pointed out that, like, pretty much all the pre-tech TV stuff, like, none of it is represented. None of it. So this is definitely memories of a certain era of G4. Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf says, I don't idolize G4. I just worked with them for 2 years. That wasn't a call out for any specific person or anything. And yes, of course you have a long history. I mean, in a way we kind of do too, right? Because of, you know, the fact that we were affiliated with All Games for those years. But I just feel like, now in the year 2020, like, G4 television's coming up to a very full Thanksgiving table. And I feel like some people are willing to just do anything to be a part of the new G4 TV. And I'm just kind of like, okay, but like, there's other, like, I don't think G4 TV is the top of the mountain in media the way that maybe it was back in the day when, you know, it was first on TV. I think that's more my kind of point there, is that G4 is coming to a very crowded space now and trying to milk the nostalgia and all that stuff. And yeah, anyway. So Bobby Blackwell says G4 began with Attack of the Show and X-Play, according to the reunion. Tiger Claw says it's G4 in name only, not the G4 you remember. So it, good luck. You know, I won't be watching. I've got other things to do. All right.
But will cheaters and cops be at the table too?
Moving on. All right, we were talking about a fast turnaround on the Game Awards. Let's talk about things that are a slow turnaround. BioWare releases, right, Jamie?
Yeah, Lady Insanity on Twitter put out a link to her blog, and she does, you know, of course, lots of stuff for BioWare. So their whole roadmap is out, and she posted it on her blog. So just to give some highlights of this, I'll just start off with this month, with what's left of November and December then. They did the release for the BioWare Stories and Secrets from 25 Years of Game Development book. It's very, very cool. Has lots of stuff about canceled games and behind the scenes stuff and concept art. You know, and this was, of course, after N7 Day happened, where they announced the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So on December 4th is Dragon Age Day. But there may be something announced that day. We don't know. Of course, December 10th is the Game Awards, there's a rumor that they may be doing another trailer for the next Dragon Age. Star Wars The Old Republic Echoes of Oblivion, will have a new content called Spirit of Vengeance. And then going into 2021, a little bit more about the Art of Mass Effect Trilogy Expanded Edition book on February 21st. Dragon Age, the first five graphic novels books on March 2nd. Spring, exact date, TBA, Mass Effect Legendary Edition game release. Moving a bit forward, though, April 2022 is when it's projected for the next Dragon Age to release.
Wow.
And they're talking about Anthem again. I don't care about Anthem, just no. And it says Anthem has been in active redevelopment. No.
I do need to try that now that it's on the EA Play Game Pass thing. So it's like, okay, no harm, no foul, no money needed to spend on it. I'm curious.
And of course, also the last thing on there is, again, for 2022 to be determined, is next Mass Effect. So we'll see.
No time soon on that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh no, we'll still be doing OLR. We'll be like, what, 40?
We'll have hit episode 1,000 by the time that game's out, I'm sure.
Dude, episode 1,000, that should be a party.
It really should be. The pandemic should be over by then, because we're still looking to get to episode 1,000. We're on 844 tonight. That's still going to be a good at least 3 years out till we get to 1,000.
We need to do this.
Yeah.
I'm committed. Are you committed? Are you guys committed?
Sure, but it's a lot. I don't want to take on more than I can chew. Getting to 1,000 episodes is going to be the show. Oh, I thought you meant making it a big event. I'm sorry. I thought you meant I misinterpreted. Yes.
We just make it to 1,000 and then we like go, okay, we're done.
Counting my lucky stars, nothing happens to me, of course. I want us to be back in the same studio. I'm glad this works. But I miss the magic of all of us being in the same room. It's not the same to me. So I'm glad we can still be here, but yeah.
But you know, there is an advantage.
What's that?
I can sit at my desk and eat spaghetti.
Your throne has gone unsat in, except by Mr. Smush, for like 9 months now.
Well, better dust it off.
Yeah, right?
Oh, and hey, I just took another COVID test. If it's clean, who knows?
Who knows? Well, let's get past this big spike that's happening right now. But yeah, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, pull a Travis Donovan, make it to episode 999 and then rebrand and start at episode 1. Yeah. Zen Monkey says,
I don't think so.
If you make the show 7 days a week, you get 2,000 easy. Yeah, well, I mean, that's how, like, Gamertag Radio, they hit 1,000 episodes, because I remember talking about that, and they've done multiple episodes a week. This is in no way knocking this incredible achievement that they have. It's just their show is different, as different podcasts are, so they got to 1,000 episodes by, you know, doing multiple episodes in a week, which, cool. They probably also have been going longer than Supernatural has been on TV, which is no small feat. You know what I mean? So Yeah, any show that makes it to 1,000 episodes is got my respect. But yeah, when we're going, when we're taking it a week at a time, it's going to take a little while. And not, and to be fair, we take off about 6 shows a year, which is way better than any show on TV. But you know, holidays, things happen, travel, Dragon Con or whatever con. We take off about 6 shows a year, so something to think about. All right. Bobby,
what?
When
we're done, we salt and burn the show.
We give it a Viking funeral.
I was saying a hunter's funeral.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, you're going to need to give us lots of bits and buy lots of merch to do a Vegas party. Who said it was going to be in Vegas? You know where we're going to have, you know where OLRCon's going to be? Roseville Golfland. In the party room.
No.
All right.
That's too.
I'm
kind of
down. No, we get the banquet room at Brookfields.
I'm down for that too. Honestly, get the banquet room at Brookfields. Yeah,
just do it.
I love it.
Hey, they have my favorite soup.
Anyway, let's see. Phoenix says, "I wonder if there's a podcast up to 10,000 episodes yet." I'm sure somewhere there's daily shows out there, right? And not necessarily about video games, but. What's Leo Laporte and his stuff at? Aren't they every day?
He has so many different series. Like, I used to follow a lot of that stuff, but like, he's got like multiple shows a day coming out. Like, it's just insane.
That's what happened with Pod Save America. I used to listen when it was like, you know, this little new podcast that, you know, and now it's like a fucking media empire. So yeah, it's hard to follow.
They used to have their like daily show. They have a few daily shows, and they have like an Android show and an Apple show and a Windows show. And yeah. It's like, there's just so many.
And this is okay. Sorry, tangent, but y'all brought it on. This is why I can't get through a show like Pod Save America or any of that stuff anymore. Oh my God. I can't believe I named names. I'm sorry, guys. I really respect everything that goes into a podcast and stuff. But here's the thing about a lot of other networks that really bother me. You tune in to listen to the show and get your talk, right? And the entire intro of the show is, here's everything that's going on this week on all of the other shows you need to be checking out. And then let's go to an ad about Squarespace or whatever the ad of the week thing is. Let's talk about MeUndies or whatever the fuck is sponsoring a podcast this week, right? And then it's like, by the time you actually get into the content that you tuned in for, you're like 15 minutes into the show. And I'm saying that as somebody who plays a very active role here at VOG Network, I'm happy to tell you about all the new shows that come on board and all that stuff, but I am not going to spend 10 minutes at the top of every show going, here's why you should listen to something else. It's just, anyway. Am I alone in that? Okay, clearly, yes. All right. Zen Monkey says, wow, podcast networks do that? Oh, sorry, Dark Saga.
I like how they do the ads for Stuff You Missed in History and Stuff Mom Never Told You, the ones that are there through iHeartRadio.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's corporate and, you know, they've got to have the sponsors, I think that they space out their sponsor in digestible little chunks that are maybe no more than a minute and a half. And it doesn't really interrupt what you're listening to that much.
Yeah. Like, you know, sure. Commercial breaks, like you're used to, like when your things are that way. Yeah, whatever. Like, and honestly, when I was listening to the RuPaul and Michelle podcast, which where the hell did that go? They stopped right around the time that Ru deleted Twitter. I don't know. But anyway, and look, I realize that Rue has a lot of issues.
Rue deleted
sometimes.
Twitter?
It might be back now, but I at one point, yeah, Rue, like, I think Rue was getting canceled for something. I don't know. Was it the fracking? I don't know. Something was going on.
Rue's Twitter is up.
Oh, okay. Well, at some point it was down, and that show just vanished. But anyway, like, the way they did ads on that show almost became a parody. Like, it was great. Anyway. Like, nothing I love more than listening to Trixie impersonate Rue doing an ad spot.
That actually sounds really funny. But I mean, but it is kind of the sad reality for us, we're able to swing a lot of what we do, you know?
Yeah.
But But for some people, this is exactly how they are able to keep doing what they do, is by sponsored funding.
I have no problem with sponsorships and commercials and things like that. It's when it's overdone and it's the complete beginning of the show. You know what I mean? That's where it's an issue.
I don't want it. Well, it's like, I mean, even like, for example, for my blog, I do have like a couple little revenue things, but they go at the very end of my article.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of how the sponsorship should be, is that it should be in an innocuous place.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, let's move on. Next story is Loki's.
All right. So we talked about how some games are getting different enhancements as they move to these new generation of consoles. So, of course, with that, we see some of these older games that were from the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 also getting enhancements as well. However, there are seeming to be more coming to the Xbox Series X and S because of the nature of how they're able to patch updates for their backwards compatibility. So, for example, later this year, we're going to be getting an update for Rocket League that's going to allow it to run in 120 FPS on the Xbox Series X and S, but they are not able to do that on the PlayStation 5 without building a full native port of the game, because of the way, like I said, that works on the PlayStation 5 versus the Xbox series of consoles. Also, along with that, there's going to be some updates coming to Star Wars Squadrons as well. They're going to allow the game to run at 1440p at 120 FPS on the Series S, and it looks like at 4K at 120 FPS as well on the Series X, which would be incredible. And then, of course, Call of Duty Warzone is also going to be getting 120 FPS update on consoles as well. And they're saying that also that it may end up being around 100 with some of the slowdowns in there, but still neat to see that some updates are coming, but it kind of sucks, I guess, with the differences in architecture that it is limiting sometimes with how they're able to implement that. And they can't necessarily do it equally across the board with the two different manufacturers of consoles.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's a little more, because Bobby was talking about this on his show, See a Natural Network Plug, a little bit about the No Man's Sky on PlayStation 5 and how it seems to be a bit of a chore to get the PlayStation 5 version on there from the PlayStation 4 disc, where you have to kind of like install the PlayStation 4 version, and then once that's there, you can kind of choose to download the PlayStation 5 version, which will require the disc to be in your console to play it, which makes sense. I mean, I'm not mad about that part.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's weird that you have to like go through the PlayStation 4 version to get the PlayStation 5 version, whereas I'm going to be honest, my Microsoft experience was, okay, No Man's Sky is in Game Pass, download it to my Xbox Series X. It's obviously getting the new version of the game, whatever. Launch the game and, oh, it synced my save file to the cloud. So if I wanted to play my old save, which I'd played for like 15 minutes on Xbox One, I could have brought that in, but I just started a new one. But I thought it was neat that it was just right there ready to go.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of obviously, these consoles are more like PCs every day, but they're treating it more like a PC, where if I own a game on Steam and I get a new PC, I can download it, but I can play it in, you know, with better resolution, with more graphic enhancements added to it, a higher frame rate. And that's kind of how they're treating it with that. They're not making it so that I have to create a brand new version of the game for this PC and a brand new version of the game for this PC. And I think that's a good approach that they took, and hopefully Sony will be a little bit more. I don't know if Sony can necessarily redesign their whole platform. They probably can at this point, but maybe adding some more resolutions available, because I know we were talking about it last week or so, that they don't have 1440p right now at launch. They have to patch that in. You know, maybe adding some of those as, you know, different resolutions that they can use to hit some of these higher frame rates. Like, for example, going back to Rocket League, they're saying that they have a performance mode on the Series X that plays at 2688 by 1512 resolution at 120 FPS. But the PlayStation 5 version will be limited to 4K at 60 FPS because I don't think they can do those in between resolutions right now. It has to either upscale to, you know, 4K or downscale to 1080. So it's just limited right now by what's available, but I don't know they can necessarily redesign everything. That's not to say that Xbox is going to be the more powerful console, because I know that like some games run a little bit better on PlayStation 5 right now. It depends on how the developer develops the games for these consoles. But it sounds like that on the Xbox side of the house, it's a little bit more flexible with some of the enhancements they can do.
All right. I think, but there's a lot of people out there that always want to start a war with Microsoft versus Sony. But I think the time has come to kind of say, you know what, this time around, it's a very similar sort of thing. The differences between the two consoles, and some people strongly disagree with this because of the DualSense experience, you know, on the PlayStation 5 and this. But, you know, as far as like, what's the more powerful system? Like, they're getting very close. And a lot of these things are very nuanced, you know, that are the actual differences between the two. I don't know. I just, you know, when I look at something like No Man's Sky and how it plays on Xbox Series X, how it plays on PlayStation 5, outside of the HDR bug, which they will fix, it's looks pretty similar, you know? So,
yeah.
All right, let's move on. Phoenix7726 says, it's PC, the more powerful system. And you know what? For some people, that's always going to be the way it is. All right, let's talk about Then there's Nintendo. Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Remember that? Because that's still a big thing they're going to be pushing through the holidays and then never again. Super Mario 3D All-Stars just got GameCube controller support. That's actually pretty cool. Since, after all, it is, you know, emulating Super Mario Sunshine in a way. Now you can actually hook up a GameCube controller and play Super Mario Sunshine the way it was meant to be played. You know, speaking of analog trigger, or speaking of, you know, the triggers that, you know, have the different pressures, that was the thing on the GameCube controller that is lost with the Switch. So that's kind of neat that is back now. If you can find a GameCube controller adapter, that is, and a GameCube controller, but they're still around, you know, obviously the Smash community really loves them. And you can find them through third parties.
You have some USB ones, though, too, that you can get that are not necessarily, I think they're like,
will the Switch recognize them?
Yeah, they sell them at the store. Huh. You know, I think they're like that Power A brand or something like that. Like, they have like all the third party companies that make those cheaper controllers. I don't know if I would assume it has analog on it as well, but I mean, maybe that's an option if you can't find the expensive ones.
Now, the other big update with the Mario 3D collection that will get a lot of people excited is that you can now invert the camera controls with all three titles. Yay! Because some people don't, you know, you get used to using the joysticks a certain way and then it's inverted suddenly and it gets really irritating. So. They also give a vague, other general fixes have been applied to improve overall gameplay across all three titles. No idea what that means, but okay. So,
Hero cool. Brian's been removed.
All right, let's go to a simpler time and take a trip to the gaming vault as we look. Oh my gosh, I ran the wrong footage. Sorry. We're going to go to a simple time and look at the classic game of the week, which I might have just spoiled, but maybe not enough. Once a week, Darksoccer dives into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out. And once a month, though, she decides to go into the pinball vault and choose a classic pinball that y'all should be checking out. And I'm sure you guys have no idea what's coming based on that 2-second oops I just did. But Darksoccer, why don't you surprise us all with the classic pinball of the month?
It's Medieval Madness. So Medieval Madness was put out by Williams. It was released in June 1997, designed by Brian Eddy, programmed by Lyman Sheets. They made 4,016 units, and it has been lauded as one of the greatest pinball tables of all time. Another thing about this, it is one of the few to have been re-released. I will get to that in a moment. I own the re-release. So basically it's got sort of a medieval castle theme, you know. And so as you're playing in the center of the playfield, there is an animated castle, and it has a drawbridge and you know, all kinds of stuff going on with it. And your primary game is to destroy six castles by hitting the castle's entryway with your pinball. So a specific number of hits will lower the drawbridge and then expose the portcullis. Then it will get that to rise, and then you can keep shooting it, and basically you get like a light show and different points and everything, and then it sort of falls apart, and then it puts itself back together for the next mode. It also has two trolls, which are animated targets. They are concealed below the playfield and pop up during certain game modes, and for some reason I always have trouble hitting one of those damn trolls. It also, you know, you have like your left and right lamps, you've got your different orbits, you have a catapult ramp. And so this particular, though, game introduced a feature that prevents a failed ramp from draining your shot down the middle between the flippers. And that actually was patented with this machine. Another little neat thing about this, Rob, do you want to know who one of the voice actors in this game was?
No idea. Yeah, sure. Who is it?
Tina Fey.
Really?
Yeah, she's the voice for the opera singer princess and the Cockney princess. So I thought that was really cool. So yeah, Tina Fey was a voice actor in the game.
Wow, okay, cool.
The back glass of the game has the game listed as Medieval Madness, and then the cabinet art says Ye Old Medieval Madness. And, you know, it's a really just kind of fun, you know, very kind of almost an odd game for its theme. So your different missions that you have is Joust Champion, you have Patron of Peasants, Catapult Ace, Defender of Damsels, Master of Trolls, and Castle Crusher. You have different multi-balls. You have Castle Multi-Ball. You have Multi-Ball Madness, which is really fun. And basically, for each madness that you complete in that, you get different number of balls. So single is two, two to four is three, and five madnesses is four balls. Then you have balls. Then you have Barnyard Multi-Ball, where you shoot all the catapult items at the castle. And then Battle for the Kingdom, which is the it's a two-phase wizard mode. And I'm not going to go into all the rules on it. But you know, it's got so much going on with it that it's just really kind of complex and really, really just fun. As far as ways to play it if you don't have access to the table, which, by the way, just to let you know, is that if you find an original Medieval Madness, it'll go upwards of $8,000.
Wow.
If they're in pristine, when they, and just as a contrast, when they were new in 97, they were about $3,000. So Medieval Madness was included in the Williams Volume 1 tables for Pinball FX3. It came out November 9th, 2018. It was previously DLC for Pinball Arcade until June 30th, 2018, when Williams removed them all for licensing. It is a playable table on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions of the Pinball Hall of Fame. The Williams collection, and it was included for Ultra Pin. So now here's where we get to the remake. They did two versions of it. There's Medieval Madness Remake and Medieval Madness Remake Limited Edition. They all come with a new color DMD. They have LED lights on the play field. And we have the limited edition. We had one on order, and then as it worked out, someone bought one, and we ended up buying it from them. This was released by Chicago Gaming Company. Let me see if I can get just a little bit more, because it had some other pretty good stuff going on with this one. Like, it had, in fact, you could get like a custom a topper for it. Had all kinds of neat stuff. Like, our particular one actually has like black legs on it. It's really sleek looking. But here's the funny thing. the when you open up the you know, the back glass and look inside, you know, I don't know if Rob, have you ever seen behind the back glass on a pinball? Or Matt, have you?
I don't think so. No.
Well, normally with these older ones from the 90s, you had a pretty large circuit board that, you know, controlled the rules, controlled all the mechanisms in the game. And this has just a very tiny, like, maybe the width of a postcard in square. So the boards on this is absolutely tiny. And then, of course, the fact that, it, you know, you get a color DMD with it, which, I mean, a color DMD by itself is, I want to say, 500, something like that, when you're adding one sort of aftermarket. Mm. But, I mean, it's... If anyone can find it, I absolutely think that it's worth having. The remake is tons of fun. Let me see if I can find what the difference is with the limited edition. Okay, so there we go. I've got the Chicago Gaming Company's website on this. So you can get... Yeah, there's a Royal Edition that comes with the King of Pain, P-A-Y-N-E. And it's a fully sculpted 8-inch tall that has integrated lighting that plays along with the game. And then the LEDs on it are interactive RGB... general illumination was listed as, and so it alters your experience as it changes colors while you're playing. You have an extra large display, so the display is pretty much, I want to say, twice as big as the original display, and like I said, it's color. And I'll link this to people. It's the Royal Edition, which is the one that we have. It has the powder-coated black legs. So the classic one is basically just what the classic table was like, right? Special edition is the one with all the LEDs and goodies, and then there's the Royal Edition that has the topper and everything. So we got lucky and got the Royal Edition. And I will link that in the chat room, because I honestly think that it's worth looking at. It's a really fun table. And you know what's funny is that it's not really my favorite, but I'm glad that we have one. It's a really fun one to play. Also, to tell Dark Tetsuya, they haven't just started doing color DMDs. They've been doing color DMDs, I want to say, for at least the last decade. So they're not a new thing. They're just still expensive. And one of the cool things about color DMDs is that you can go in and reprogram colors on it. No, and on some of these newer tables, it's actually pretty cool. Like, we have a Metallica, and we have an AC/DC. And when we got our AC/DC, the previous owner, instead of putting AC/DC in it, I want to say that he put in... I don't remember what band he put in, but it was a different band, and you know, so you could switch out like different audio stuff. They're a lot more modifiable now, but I really think that if you see one of these in the wild and you have never played it, you owe yourself to play Medieval Madness. Like I said, it is one of the peak pinball tables by many people's opinions. It's right up there with, like, I'd say Adam's Family, you know, as far as beloved tables. Theater of Magic, you know, Theater of Magic isn't a great tournament table, but it's up there with how well loved it is. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, for sure. And those are some tables that I definitely love. Those are the ones you named, and this is a good one too. So
yeah, but I just like any game that starts off with "I am the King of Pain." So there you go.
There it is, your classic pinball table of the month, Medieval Madness. All right, check that out. One of the, if you can find the original, great. And there's a lot of the newer edition stuff out in the wild, too. So somebody had mentioned in chat earlier, California Extreme kind of has the original, but with the modified colored display on it, so which you see on some of those old tables. So, fun. All right. Let's travel around quickly and check out some rapid-fire news. Rapidly, some other things happening around the industry. Bobby also pointing out that Medieval Madness is also in Pinball FX3, of course. It's what we were just showing on the feed there. So, yeah, it's another way to get it.
Yep, I said that.
Okay. Let's do rapid fire news. Loki.
So apparently the whole Lego Mario line has been doing very well. I know I have most of them, or I should say my kids have most of them. But they're not going to stop with just Series 1. They're actually going to be releasing a Series 2 starting January 1st.
So are they for your kids or are they for you?
My kids play with them. I don't have them anywhere. I may help build them sometimes.
All right.
But it's mainly for them. So they got some brand new stuff, including a sets with a Chain Chomp in there. They've got one with the Wiggler and some new costumes, including the Penguin and Tanuki Marios. Some new blind bag character sets with the Poison Mushroom. Looks like Paragoombas, Shy Guys, and Ninjis, which are kind of cool. Yeah. And then they even have like a master your own, like a create your own adventure maker set that has one of the Koopa Kids in there as well. And it's kind of a more free form set. No new starter set. So I thought they would add like Luigi to it to like a multiplayer or something, but they haven't done that. But yeah. So
that'll be next year.
That'd be, well, they tend to do multiple series within a year. And considering that Lego Mario came out in August of this year, I mean, it's been running for about 4 months. So they have the opportunity to do multiple series when it comes out next year. So looks pretty cool. So kids are already wanting me to pick up all these. So we'll see. We're a few sets shy of having the entire series one. And then along with that, we did get a tease that there's going to be a brand new map unveiled at the Game Awards for Among Us. And the new map is actually looks like a crossover map. So it apparently is the Top Hat Clan's airship from, and I can't remember because my kids are telling me what it was. I want to say like maybe the Stickman Adventures or something like that. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. So new maps, pretty awesome to see some crossover with other indie games as well.
Neat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, talking about game streaming, as you know, we've kind of brought up previously on the show, there were some issues going on with the different apps being able to have game streaming on iOS, but they seem to have found a solution, and that is to do web apps. Now, we also talked about last week on the show that App Stadium, which was like a fan app to get Stadia running on iOS. Well, I guess you won't need that anymore because Stadia game streaming is coming to iOS via a official web app. So that is happening. The testing is supposed to start several weeks from now, but it's nice to have that confirmation, I suppose, that that is coming. What's interesting is that Stadia is not the only one talking about using an iOS web app this week. NVIDIA brought their GeForce Now game streaming service to iOS, so they are also on a web app. It did launch this week. It is saying beta, though. That way you might run into some issues there. But, yeah, that is also out there. So that's kind of interesting. Moving on to a story about the supplies for the Xbox Series X. Apparently, Microsoft is expecting shortages to continue well into April. Microsoft isn't talking about how many consoles they sell anymore. They haven't done that for quite some time. And you might remember earlier in the show, I don't think they really care. I think it's the Game Pass stuff they want to keep touting. But anyway, this is from that same conference where Tim Stewart, the chief financial officer, was saying those other things I talked about earlier. He also said that he's seeing these shortages continue into the first quarter of next year, meaning through March. So whether the pandemic is to blame for that or high demand to blame for that or all of those things is unknown. But it's probably all those things, to be quite honest. So, yeah, unfortunately, those shortages will be continuing into next year. I noticed Dark Sakura stepped away. Is she back? Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I'm back. I'm sorry. Oh. I had it. My video off so no one would see me nomming down on my salad.
No problem. I just didn't want to miss your stories.
No, I can miss them. It's okay. I'm just kidding. So there's a recent study from it's an Oxford study that went to Nintendo and Electronic Arts for playtime for different games. So games used in this were Animal Crossing New Horizons and Plants vs. Zombies Battle for the Neighborhood. And the data led to, well, basically, first of all, it was to give a more accurate understanding about how long people spent playing the game. And then they saw that they were able to find a correlation between the gameplay behavior and their subjective well-being, so that they could show that these video games have actually been really good for mental health. One of the things that they said, I'll actually read from what one of the researchers said, is they found that the player's in-game experience may be more critical for their well-being than merely the amount of time they spent playing. Players who derive genuine enjoyment from the games experience more positive well-being. So I think that's pretty cool. I could tell you that. I mean, shoot, I would have probably gone nuts if I didn't have Animal Crossing. Also, itch.io is doing something a little bit different for Black Friday. They're going to run the sale like everyone else, but they're going to forego their cut of the game sales and give the developers that share of revenue for the day.
That's neat.
So it's going to be active starting at 3 a.m. Eastern Time, midnight Pacific, on November 27th. So if a developer wants to include their games in the sale, then they can lower the price of their games during that and still make a pretty tidy profit. Mm-hmm. So they also have a massive pay what you this was the one that they did before, where they did the pay what you want bundle for the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. So cool.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, let's move on and travel around the world and check out some release dates of games that are coming out this week. This is kind of the last chance before Black Friday.
Yeah, not a whole lot usually comes out this week. So we do have one significant thing. So World of Warcraft Shadowlands still coming to PC and Mac. Just Dance 2021 on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. We've got Star Renegades on PlayStation 4. Vigor on PlayStation 4, and looks like last but not least, Spirit of the North Enhanced Edition on PlayStation 5. That is it.
All right. Well, traveling over to Japan, it's still, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday is not really an impact over there, so they still have a pretty full week for game releases, and this actually all comes out on November 26th. So this week on the Nintendo Switch, we have Zoids Wild Infinity Blast is out, as well as Food Girls in a regular and limited edition, Moonlighter, and Saints Row 4 Re-Elected, the Japanese version of that is out this week. All of that, of course, on the Nintendo Switch. Taking a look at the PlayStation 5, it looks like Just Dance 2021 is out in Japan this week, as well as an Ultimate Edition of Watch Dogs Legion. Oh, that is paired with a non-Ultimate Edition as well, so Japan gets their version of that this week. And then looking at the PlayStation 4 for the releases there, Koi Suru Otome to Shugo no Tate, Reboot the Shield 9. In regular and limited edition. Well, that is quite the mouthful. I wonder if that is based off an anime that I'm unaware of. I'm trying to load the page to see more information off that. Wow, there's two chicks on the cover of this, and one of them is pointing a gun at me. So that's an interesting piece of box art there. But yeah, I'm thinking that is based off an anime or manga. But other things coming out in Japan this week on the PlayStation 4. This is pretty neat. The Dead by Daylight... Dead by Daylight is getting a Silent Hill edition. So they're getting like a physical release of Dead by Daylight, but with the Silent Hill stuff that was put out for that game not that long ago in Japan, maybe to get more of the audience over there excited about it. Of course, that game continues to do pretty well. I see people streaming it on Twitch all the time. Last Labyrinth is the other big release on the PlayStation 4 this week in Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
So, yeah, UK stuff. So, at any rate, for stuff coming out this week, of course, leading into December, We have for the 24th, we have Emperor Rome. We have Football Manager 2021, and it's real football, not American football. Overcooked, All You Can Eat. That's on PlayStation. Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues. We have Liftoff Drone Racing Deluxe on PlayStation. Just Dance 2021 for PS5. On the 26th, we have Tropico 6. My Universe, My Baby. That looks terrible. Fantasy Friends on the 27th. Theme Park Simulator also on the 27th. And then Peng Adventures Buster Edition also on the 27th.
All right. We have a few more stories for you guys before we open it up for questions from chat and further comments on things we either have or haven't talked about tonight. But we'll get to that in a little bit. First, we have some more stories. Loki.
Yes, I don't play any Grand Theft Auto Online, although maybe I'll change and go back to it at some point. But we did get a tease, though, that there is some new stuff coming to Grand Theft Auto Online soon. So they've got the new KO Perico heist, which is going to be a new location in Grand Theft Auto Online. So they actually had a small map expansion, new interiors and whatnot. We haven't really gotten any new map expansions since the game launched. Kind of disappointing. We never really got any DLC for it aside from Grand Theft Auto Online. I mean, I used Lost and Damned and Ballygate Tony were great in four, but we never got any story expansions like that in five, which is kind of unfortunate. But it started off, they teased it a little bit with this teaser trailer that launched that kind of showed a little bit of this new location. And then, of course, now they have, you know, dead bodies washing ashore to kind of go along with that as well. But there apparently this brand new private island or something is going to be a new place that we can check out in December. And they're saying they're also announcing a new radio station featuring over 100 new songs to get you DMCA flagged on Twitch right away.
Yeah, don't stream on Twitch if you're listening to that radio station.
So looking forward to checking that out.
All right. Well, earlier in the show, I was teasing some stuff about PlayStation and perhaps their competitor to Game Pass. And this is all coming from some comments that were made by the CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, Jim Ryan. He was actually speaking to a Russian outlet named TASS about PlayStation 5 launching there, because obviously the PlayStation 5 is all over the world now. I know we got it a week early in the U.S. and Japan, but UK had their release this last week, as well as everywhere else in the world. So there's a lot more interviews and such to support PlayStation 5 this week. He was asked about the competition with Microsoft and what are some of the points of differentiation. And he actually said that console wars, it's not a term that he likes to use or that he likes. It's great that there's competition. I think it makes us work harder. It avoids us getting complacent. It's great that the consumer has a choice. I think that's wonderful. Now, that led into a discussion on Game Pass. There is actually news to come, but just not today. We have PlayStation Now, which is our subscription service, and that is available in a number of markets. Let's take a minute to roll our eyes at that answer, because that's not quite the same thing. I'm sorry, but it pales in comparison to what Microsoft is doing with the direct emulation of the older titles in the library. Now, granted, not everything is supported.
You heard, too, that they weren't even talking, that they were asked about expanding that PlayStation Plus Gold or whatever collection.
The PlayStation Plus collection.
Yeah, they were talking about whether they would expand it or not, and they're not even sure they're going to do that.
So yep, it's just a bonus on top of PlayStation Plus. So,
well, games, the Game Awards are right around the corner. They like doing announcements at those things. So maybe
I feel like it's too soon for Sony to do it now when they did just put out that PlayStation Plus collection. And a lot of people still can't get a PlayStation 5. I'm not sure this is something they have to respond to right this minute, especially when Microsoft doesn't really have first-party titles for the new era on Game Pass right now. I think Sony wants to be thinking about that for next year. But I honestly, I would expect if Sony is going to counter with their own type of Game Pass, and they've got some big partners involved in that that maybe aren't as involved in Game Pass, perhaps some more Japanese-centric companies, maybe your Capcoms, your Konamis, although Konami's not really making games anymore, but who knows. Stuff from that library, we might see that. I would think E3 2021 is when Sony responds to it officially. But maybe sooner, who knows? A game developers conference, even though that's not really a news place, so you shouldn't look at it as one. And plus, it's the day and age of the internet. They can announce it whenever they want. But I kind of feel like...
It's still too early to see what the impact is going to be on Games Pass right now with their console. I don't know if they can really say that we're losing a lot of sales because of that yet.
No, they're both selling out. They're both doing well. That's why I don't think Sony has to respond till the next fiscal year. And that's why I don't expect an announcement before April. That's my take on it. You know, that I think it's weird that he said, you know, we have nothing to announce now. He almost made it sound like it's coming soon, but I think it's still way too soon. PlayStation 5's doing nothing wrong. It's still selling out and hard to get. Same thing with Xbox Series X. Now, whether the pandemic's to blame for some of those supply issues, I don't know, but they're selling what they're making, so they've got to be happy with that. So I'm sure they'll be looking to it next year. I think we will see something that's a little more elevated, and I don't think they will enhance PlayStation Plus collection. I think that speculation is right on the money. I think PlayStation Plus collection was to try to give more incentive to get a PlayStation 5 when there is a lack of launch titles. Sure, Demon's Souls. Sure, the Astrobot and that stuff. But that's not enough, you guys. You know, especially when you compare it to some of the prior launches, when you look at, you know, all the titles that were out there when PlayStation 2 was new. So I think that was all. And to be fair, Xbox has the exact same problem because they had to push a lot of their stuff back. Every week, I don't think Microsoft has a single exclusive this year now for the new systems. I think the last one just got pushed back this last week. Was it Mastermind or what? I don't remember what it was called, but there was another one that got pushed back this week. So,
oh, was it that the one that was like that time loop one?
I think so. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
DJ Rama S says, can you really call it a console exclusive when the games are coming out on current gen systems? To which Bobby Blackwell follows up, Astro's Playroom is literally PlayStation 5 exclusive, and I think that's it. I guess
pre-installed.
Technically, Demon's Souls remake is exclusive, but yes, that is a remake of a PlayStation 3 game, of course. But technically, that remake is a new release and it's exclusive to PlayStation 5. Bugsnax is not exclusive to PlayStation 5. It is also on PlayStation 4. It is free on PlayStation 5 if you have PlayStation Plus. Only on PlayStation 5. It is not free on PlayStation 4. It's very interesting.
And I hear it's not that bad of a game.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's kind of neat. Yeah. So, all right, moving on. Darksakura with some classics.
Yes. How about the Sega Ages? I like Sega Ages.
Yeah, it's a good collection.
Yeah, although some of the 2500 ones were kind of weird. But at any rate... Sega has wrapped up the Sega Ages line. For the Switch, sorry. It's given us some really cool stuff. We've been very happy, very extensive. But what was the most popular? So it all really depends on where you are. And so there was an interview with Nintendo Everything. So Kodama Reiko, Okunari Yosuke and Matsuoka Tsuyoshi. In order, we have the producer, director, then supervisor, and then the M2 director. We're talking about the biggest hits. So in Japan, Virtua Racing was the most popular. Overseas, they said it was Sonic, and then followed by Outrun. And Outrun was super big in Europe in particular, but they did notice that Puyo Puyo got a lot of attention, but that was also only in Japan.
Hmm.
I like Puyo Puyo.
Yeah. Sega Ages was a pretty good, it was a good way of doing the retro stuff because they did some really nice upgrades with that. I still have to go back and get a few. I really wanted the Phantasy Star one where it actually mapped the dungeons as you were doing them because that was one of the most tedious parts of the game were those dungeons. And now they actually map them. So that's pretty cool.
I very much would have loved to have like just a big Phantasy Star, like completely redone with all of those features as well, but like the full
quadrology
quartet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say quartet because that's another Sega thing, quartet. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Loki.
All right. So this is kind of a cool little tribute that they did in Spider-Man Miles Morales. So as you may remember, Chadwick Boseman, who played Black Panther in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, passed away earlier this year. And as kind of a little bit of a tribute in the game, they have hidden a Boseman Way, I guess, and which is located on the stretch of 42nd Street between 3rd Avenue and 1st Avenue. And they said that this is possibly to... because his breakout film, I guess, was in this a biographical film, 42. And that it's kind of a tribute to that. So it was kind of neat to see that the developers give him a nod in this game as well, because he was so influential with the fans of, you know, definitely the Marvel Universe. So, yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, and I highly doubt that's the last tribute we see in a video game either.
Or, yeah, media, period.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of other media, our last story tonight has to do with The Last of Us officially getting a TV adaptation. We've had rumors of it. We know that one was being shopped around. Well, guess what? HBO is picking it up. HBO's been doing a lot of interesting stuff recently. You know, obviously, I'm sure you all heard the news this week about HBO Max and how they got the Wonder Woman 84 release. So because obviously theaters are not really a thing right now in most parts of the country, at least where we live for sure, and where I think many of you are in big cities, there's not really theaters. I guess some cities are still doing it, but you know, every place is handling COVID differently. The reality is New York and LA, the two biggest markets, don't have theaters right now. So it's hard for movie companies to really do a release, especially of a big budget film like Wonder Woman 84. And Bobby Blackwell's pointing out in his area, they're open. They're just not very packed. That's right. Just because they're open doesn't mean people are willing to go because of everything going on. People know that there's a risk with it. So anyway, HBO is going to be getting that Wonder Woman 84 movie. It will come out on HBO Max the same day it's in theaters, which I believe is Christmas, the 25th. So that's interesting. You know, we know that Disney Plus has Mulan, and the rumor is that Cruella de Vil movie with what's her name playing Cruella, that reminds me of Victoria. Was it Emma Stone? Is that her name? That's it. She's playing Cruella. The rumor is that that movie is going to end up being a digital thing on Disney Plus, and I think there's a couple others on the Disney front.
I didn't even know that was an actual movie that's coming out.
Yeah, there's a picture out there of her as Cruella. She looks the part. She looks really good. And she, for those of you that remember Victoria on Shaking and Crying, the day I saw, what was that movie that she was in with Anna Faris, the sorority girl? Damn it. I can't think of that movie. There was a comedy. And it was like
House Bunny.
The House Bunny. Yes, that's it. Thank you. The House.
I don't know how I know that, but I do.
You know what? You just won Jeopardy. Congrats. So the House Bunny, when I saw that movie, the very first thing, when I saw Emma Stone, I was like, oh my God, this is Victoria. And I texted Victoria and I'm like, you need to see the House Bunny because this chick is you. This is funny. So, and then Victoria ended up meeting her because she was in a Broadway version of a Cabaret or something. Anyway, I'm really getting disconnected. Sorry, but one tangent leads to another. Anyhow, so how did I get on Emma Stone? Oh, yes, the digital releases on HBO Max, which is trying to build themselves up because this is the new reality we're in. Now everybody wants a Netflix. And we knew this was coming. Netflix, Hulu, CBS or whatever they're going to rebrand it as, Paramount or whatever it's called. What are all the others? I can't even name them all now. HBO Max. What are the other pay TV stuff?
Peacock.
Peacock. Well, technically, you don't have to pay for that one. Right,
right, right. Right.
Yeah. So anyway, they're all out there. So HBO Max is going to be going through with their adaptation of The Last of Us to enhance that. And that's another one of those places where I think Netflix and what they did with the video game adaptation of The Witcher can kind of – yes, it was a book, but, you know, it definitely reminded a lot of people of the video game. And it led to other video game stuff too, which Netflix has had great success with Castlevania and all that other stuff. Anyway, so now other streaming companies are looking to video games for potential stories. So The Last of Us is happening. HBO has confirmed that the writer and creative director behind The Last of Us, Neil Druckmann, will pen the series and produce the series. It's going to be alongside the creator of Chernobyl, Craig Mazin. Sony PlayStation Productions will produce the series. I didn't even know there was a Sony PlayStation Productions. What was the last thing they would have done? The Tester?
Is that The Tester?
I don't know. Anyway, the series will be about the first game. So it will not necessarily be the second game. I don't know if that's for a season two or what happens. Does it end up going like The Walking Dead where it completely outpaces? I don't know. We have to see how the first season does first. But HBO has greenlit the production, and that's it. It's moving forward. So we'll see when it's going to come out. Probably, I would say earliest is like holiday next year, and that's cutting it close, especially with all the COVID stuff. I mean, I know they're filming things again with precautions and stuff, but they might put it off, especially if they want to have like hordes of zombies and things. They might put it off for a little bit. So there it is. All right. Now we're getting to your part of the show, the listener roundtable, where we invite your comments via chat and your emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. I'm not sure we had any, but I'll check with Jamie. Okay. So we don't have any.
We have zero.
Wow. All right. Participate.
Thank you for saving my voice.
participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send your emails for next week. If Jamie really can't read them because of her voice or whatever, I'm always happy to jump in there and read them. Anyway, and usually we would do Drag Race talk here, but that's a show I haven't watched in months. I know they have all the
I'm way behind.
They have like Drag Race Holland, Drag Race Canada, Drag Race Spain is coming, but I'm worn out.
Yeah, you're all drug out. You're dragged.
Yeah,
you got dragged. Out.
All right. But if you guys have questions or comments in our chat, we'll open it up quickly for some chat comments over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. If you have some chat comments you want to get in here. I will ask, though, of course, Loki, if you have any last minute stories.
Of course. So there was a video put out by Sack Smashing. I think it was last week, actually, talking about the brand new Game & Watch handheld system. And of course, the question is, can you hack it? So he found a way to hack the game to system to be able to inject a custom modified version of Super Mario Brothers to put, you know, hack Mario Brothers or whatever. But that wasn't enough, because the question that's always on people's minds is, can it run Doom? And well, he's managed to get Doom to run on it. Just a very stripped down version of Doom that he had to take some of the textures out and everything, because it is got very limited space. It only has a 1 megabyte of storage, 1 megabyte of RAM. And so it's obviously very limited space that they could run that, but it runs sort of kind of
in theory. It runs. Do you have to, is it so slow that you have to play Doom in that scaled down tiny window within your tiny window?
It is scaled down a little bit. It's not like for the Game & Watch system, I think it's about 80% of the screen. So, I mean, that's not bad, but like, it's not a very strong processor that's in there in the first place. And yeah, with not having a lot of storage on there anyways, I think we can rule out like dumping a ton of NES games to it, but it's still a neat hack.
Yeah, and if you want to play Doom, there are literally 5,000 other places you can
Everything
play Doom.
Else.
Anything else, thing. You name it, with a screen, Doom's on it.
A pregnancy test.
Which is real, yes.
I know.
A pregnancy test. All right. Anything else?
That's all I had.
So one thing I noticed we didn't bring up tonight at all, it didn't come up on Bobby's show, it didn't come up here on this show, I have to say something about it. is that whole Capcom stuff going on. Now, the Capcom there, so there, it's not a Capcom leak. It's a Capcom hostage situation. Capcom had their information broken into. We have brought it up previous weeks on the show. And they basically took all this information and were saying, you got to give us Bitcoin or we're going to put the information out there. They did not give the Bitcoin. So the information is starting to get out there. That's up to you if you want to go looking for that or not. I kind of was like, do I want to talk about it? Do I not want to talk about it? Do I?
We talked about it last week at the end of the show, yeah, actually.
Yeah. And, but, well, there's more, there's real specifics that came out within the last few days. I'll say this much, because this is one of those, well, of course this was happening. Me mentioning this, of course this is happening. There's information there out there about Street Fighter VI, which. Okay, that's one of those. Of course, it's happening at some point, but there's information about that out there. I'm not going to get into the details because it does feel a little dirty. At the same time, here at Orange Lounge Radio, this is, you know, video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. And unfortunately, I think what's going on out there with all the news, it's kind of becoming a part of culture. So I'm a little bit torn on the appropriateness of what there is to talk about. At the end of the day, Capcom may change some of those plans. There's things in there about localized games and things you might be excited about and all that. But 2020 and this year may have changed everything. So I wouldn't put too much stock in anything that would have leaked out. And if you want to go looking for that and looking up that information, then, you know, whatever. But you know, and I found it. I've come across it. It's been hard to avoid on Twitter, but just know where it came from. That's really all I'm going to say. I will say this. I will mention one of the things that they discovered that I think this is one of the things where Capcom wasn't saying anything about it openly. But it's one of those things where when I tell you what it is, you'll kind of go like, that is pretty cool that Capcom's doing that. And that is that it was noted that Capcom is making some real pushes internally to diversify things within their different games, to have more strong female representation, to have more LGBTQ, to have more ethnic representation of different races, ethnicities, and so forth around the world. And what's interesting is they actually were calling out like good examples and bad examples in the industry. So they were talking about like Last of Us being like some good stuff for LGBTQ, at least Tomb Raider for like strong female characters. Not so great. Old Mario and old Zelda, but look at how Zelda has kind of transformed a little bit, where it's no longer the damsel in distress, but Zelda's, you know, you still can't play as Zelda in the game. I think that's coming in the next Breath of the Wild, but that's neither here nor there. But you can in the Hyrule Warriors and all that stuff. So it is interesting that Capcom is making that push internally to do that. So yes, that is one thing that the Ransom exposed, but it's one of those kind of like, well, neat that Capcom wasn't going to trout information about, look at the good we're doing, but they are doing it internally and they are having those discussions, and that part's at least pretty cool. So let's see. Oh, no comments in chat, really. So that's that. Yeah, so good luck to Capcom on dealing with all that. And the apparently there is some information in there. We kind of got into it last week. I don't think we need to say too much more about it. That's it. I don't really see a lot of questions in chat, so I think we're at the point to wrap it all up for the night. Dark Soccer's voice is spent. I'm ready to eat. I haven't had a lot of food today, so I think we're going to wrap up. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. First off, I want to thank you guys so much for downloading our show or listening to us live, however you participated with Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't out there to put out on air, then we gotta find you, I guess. So please help us spread the word. The auto hosts on iTunes go a really long way for that as well. So thank you for that. Really appreciate all of that and all of your support with that. I will also try to make it a habit to mention here at the end of the show, another way that you can support the show is by visiting our merchandise store over at vognetwork.com/shop. And you can check out the brand new Vogue t-shirts, Vogue face masks. And if you're a fan of Bobby Black Wolf, which you all should be, you can check out the coffee mug. Yes, we will work on OLR specific things. Hey, we gotta make sure there's a reason for you to come back next month, right? So look for more stuff to come to the store in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, let's go around and get everybody's official final thoughts. Dark Sakura, what's your final thought?
Two things. I look at my blog, genxgeeks.com, G-E-E-X, and I want everyone to consider going to randomacts.org and doing their 10 pieces of kindness challenge. Do your part to be kind to others and kind to yourself. It's absolutely worth it. And you might find that taking the time out just to do a simple kindness for another person can absolutely change your day and theirs.
And my final thought on this Thanksgiving week is I am thankful to people who are canceling or heavily modifying their Thanksgiving plans because they're taking what's going on very seriously. And I find it very unfortunate and sad and in some ways kind of sick that there are people out there who would make it a point to brag about how they plan to have, you know, 36 people together for Thanksgiving this year because they don't believe in what's going on out there in the world. And I find that kind of sad that people would have such irregardless disrespect for other human beings that they are willing to silently spread this particular virus by continuing to do this, by being unwilling to make the small changes that are necessary for us to get through this together. So for those of you that are taking this shit seriously, I thank you. And for those that choose to flaunt and brag and rub it in our face that I'm going to do what I always want because this is fake and made up, a nice hearty fucksgiving to you. Loki, your final thought.
I'm going to be working on my game because I got extra time off. So, you know, really just focusing on getting all the core coding stuff done. And I have a lot of assets I got to put together because I have a lot of artwork and stuff. And I found some more music to put in there as well. So just have to get it all in there in working order. Goal is to have it released before the end of the year. So still shooting for that.
I'm going to be thankful for the day I finally get to play your fucking game. All right. We'll add that to it. All right. Thanks, you guys. Stay safe out there. Happy gaming with all those of you that are modifying your plans for this year. I wanted to make sure I include heavy modifications because I know a lot of people are going to, you know, like some situations can't be totally changed, but people are making modifications. So I'm sure this means that, you know, Thursday, Friday, means a lot extra gaming time for those of you out there. So enjoy it. Play games. To those of you that are working retail, my thoughts are with you on Friday. I would hope that this year is going to be different in that regard. Unfortunately, due to the little rant I just gave, I think there's some elements of it, especially depending on where you are, that are not going to be different. So just my thoughts are with all of you hardworking retail folks this weekend. So that's it. Have a great week. Enjoy your video games. We'll be back in 7 days to continue the discussion. Have a wonderful night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.